If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Lasted how long?
9 years. 180 episodes.
You gave it up, right?
I did, sir.
They didn't cancel you. You canceled them.
You're not aware of this?
No, I'm asking you.
You think I got canceled? Are you under the impression that I got canceled?
Have I hurt you, Jerry?
I thought that was pretty well documented. Is this still CNN? I was the number one show on television, Larry.
Do you know
who I am?
Jewish guy, Brooklyn.
Yes.
Okay.
75 million viewers. Last episode.
Don't take it so bad.
Well, that's the big difference between being canceled and being number one.
Okay, I'm sorry. We'll be right back.
Jeez.
B-movie
opens.
Can we
get a resume in here for
B-movie
me?
B-movie opens
Larry
tomorrow.
Can you over?
We'll be right back.
And now,
what's with the poll?
Our feature presentation.
Look, I know it's Jerry's bit to be exasperated and to get his voice all high like that, but I kind of don't think he was kidding this time.
I'm positive he wasn't kidding, and I'm
really?
Glad he called him on it. He's so unprepared. Like, the man on the street knows that Jerry quit when he wanted to quit.
Sure.
Yeah.
There was quite a bit of coverage over Seinfeld's last episode, and it was the number one show on television when it went off the air. How does Larry, who works in television, how is he not aware of that?
He's not aware of anything.
Yeah, I was going to say, at this point, do you really have to ask that question?
Wow.
And imagine how frustrating that is for Seinfeld, who made his career in television and probably for years slaving at being overly prepared and having teams of writers get that show on the air week after week. And he sees this guy equally, if not more successful in television. Just kind of winging it.
Well,
just kinda...
not anywhere close to being more successful. I mean, that's just crazy. This guy hosted a one-hour talk show on CNN.
But think about how many people...
the Seinfeld Empire.
How long has Larry King been on TV doing what he's done? And how many hours has he ranked, you know, being the number one guy at CNN?
And how much does he get paid to do it?
Right, exactly.
And here's the thing. That kind of job should really be an eight-hour job. If you're doing a one-hour interview every night, you got a lot of prep. Not for him. It's a one-hour job.
I sense that Larry doesn't think about the guest in front of him until they sit down to start the interview. And then he goes, I wonder who this person is. What kind of questions going to ask to determine who I'm talking to?
It's like a game show where you put someone up like, okay, guess what he does and who he is and why he's here.
Well, I'm with you that thank God for Jerry Seinfeld calling him on that BS, because that's fantastic. Hey, people, it's Monday morning and it's the 5th of November. Didn't we used to have wasn't there a blonde kid for a while on this show? Whatever happened to that kid?
Nope.
Remember him?
I kind of do remember him, but I don't think he was good. I think he had trouble putting sentences together and
I know the guy you're talking about.
That guy, remember?
It occurred to me that Kevin probably didn't remember to change his clocks, but that would only mean that he got up an hour early. So he would have been here way long time ago. He wouldn't be late if he forgot
right.
to change his clocks.
Plus, he'd have all day Sunday to figure that out.
Well, that's not enough for
this is very sad.
Ask producer Lightning to come in real quick, by the way, because we do have a potential medical emergency going on here in the show. And it's only a matter of time before the superbug gets here. Superbug, by the way, every day in the news, new cases around America. I mean, it's getting to the point now where there are enough of them that I'm starting to get nervous about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
But I don't think the superbug is what we're dealing with today. Producer Lightning, should you go home or should you stay? What's going on?
Yo. Hey, sorry. I was just putting the headphones on.
Thank you for the update.
Beam would like to know, should you go home or should you stay?
I don't know. I mean, I discovered that I had pink eye on my right eye yesterday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then late last night, I found it coming onto the left eye, and now so both my eyes are bloodshot.
Find out how contagious this is. Please call right now before we make a tragic decision and stay in a small room with Lightning all day. 1-800-520-1067. What are the symptoms like for you as a pink eye guy?
You know, it itches, it burns, it feels like. Yeah, you've got sand in your eyes a little bit. You know,
they don't look bad. They just look a little bloodshot. Usually pink eye, you can really tell.
Right. I was going to ask, have you had a doctor tell you 100% you have pink eye?
No, I have not.
You just assume. Okay, this is allergy season. You could just have...
It could be. It doesn't look
like
pink eye.
I've had allergies on and off my whole life. Never had my eyes get red and pink like this before. So I just assumed, because I have a 2 and a 5-year-old,
right,
that somehow they would have transmitted to me, or I was... Who knows?
But you don't have the little bunny eyes. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what pink eye looks like, right?
He's not an Opus Dei, Bean.
Well, but I mean, I have been taking, you know, medication. And because my two-year-old did have it, so we had some leftover drops. And so starting as soon as I woke up and my eye was pussy on the right, you know, on the right side, I
– Can't say pussy on the radio.
I'm sorry, pussy.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Pussy. I went downstairs, got the medicine, and two drops three times a day in the right eye, and then, and then last night in the left eye.
Maybe he caught it. So maybe that's why it doesn't look like real pink eye.
Can you get Vicodin for that?
Ooh, nice. For all
just
of
asking,
us?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk to Ray in Yorba Linda. He's down on line 7. Ray, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Medically emergency time. What's going on?
Kick him the curb. Get him out. Throw rocks. Whatever.
Really? Why? What do you know? Tell us what you know.
Pink eye is extremely contagious.
Okay, but you know what? His eyes just look red right now.
That's just the beginning of it. It's extremely contagious. It's irritated. It's infected. If he touches anything and you touch it and you happen to touch your face, it's going to go right to your eyes.
Nice.
I would prefer to err on the side of caution on this one, you guys.
Well, he's already touched the head. I mean, I know he was trying not to touch anything, right. But he had to touch the headphones to put them on, and he had to move the mic over.
I wore a long-sleeve shirt, and I'm wrapping them around my hands.
But we're screwed now.
Yeah, you guys are screwed.
Ray, is it an airborne illness? Is that how it goes, or is it only from stuff you touch?
It'll be transferred between things you touch. Because typically you're going to rub something he touched, you're going to rub your eye, you're going to touch your face, and it's going to go right to your eye.
Okay.
All right, so somebody's in an office with him, as long as they don't touch any of the same stuff. If he's on his computer, everybody else is on their computer, then he can't transmit it that way.
Go home!
Right. It won't transfer through the air.
I'll go home if you guys want me to go home. I'm not making a point of it.
Alex sits next to him. Go home.
Ray, thanks for the call. Let's talk to Rob in Simi Valley. Oh, I think I've got it.
Great.
Rob, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Pink Eye Talk. Go ahead.
Morning. Pink Eye is just a very contagious disease. You touch anything with it, you're going to transmit it to somebody, and you just got to either keep a bottle of Purell with you the whole time. Otherwise, someone else is going to get it.
Right. I don't think we need this, guys. Do you?
How long will he have to stay out?
Oh, it usually clears up within like 3 days if you're on medicine and whatnot.
All right, okay. Here's what I'm going to say. Thank you for the call, Rob. Let's go to Jennifer on line 1. I'm going to say that lightning can go, but I think he has to go to the doctor today to get it diagnosed as pink eye.
Yeah,
I think that's the trade-off.
I'm fine with that.
I agree.
Okay. Jen, final word on pink eye. Go ahead.
First of all, yeah, it's super contagious, but the worst part about it is where you get it from. It's from touching feces and then touching your eye.
lightning.
I wouldn't touch anything he's touching.
The reality is, I changed my two-year-old's diapers.
Sure.
And it is possible.
And there's that website I saw you on, too.
Yeah. Lightning in a cup, that one?
Yeah, it was two lightnings, one cup.
I think he should go get diagnosed and then come back and wear Doc's mittens.
Oh.
not actually, you mean Doc mittens like Doc's?
No,
not,
Doc's mittens.
Doc's actual scabies mittens.
His actual scabies mittens.
All right, Jennifer, thank you for the call. So you get it from touching poo.
Not much I can say about that, except that it's terrific.
That is terrific.
Now, guys, I was with Kevin over the weekend, so do you think that's... No, I wasn't, but...
He'll use
Swing
it
and
now,
a miss.
So we're gonna miss.
I see it's improved your sense of humor, though, Lighting. Thank you. Yeah. All right, you can step out then.
Goodbye.
We got we're already one down with Kevin, and now we're about to be two down with Lightning.
Yep.
And we haven't seen Ralph yet, so I don't know how today's gonna go. But Mondays are always a little bit dodgy here at K-Rock.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about you too, Bean, last week. What's going on with this whole crew?
I don't know.
You slept in? Wasn't Dave late one day?
Did you just ask that? Wasn't Dave late one day?
I could ask that any day, right?
It's a toss of the dice, that one.
All right. Let's see what's going on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. I know. There's a town for sale. This happens once every couple of years where somebody owns enough real estate in a town that you can buy the whole place. And I don't know what the advantages or disadvantages of that are.
I don't
know. But we're going to find out because we're going to talk to the guy who owns Albert, Texas. If you've always wanted to own a town in Texas near San Antonio, now's your chance.
Okay.
So we got that coming up. Also, we're very excited to bring back one of my all-time favorite features here on the Kevin and Bean Show because Ralph, as you know, is the movie wizard. He's the king of cinema here on this program, and the Video Vault returns with one of the all-time great TV movies, by all accounts. It's called Bad Ronald.
I have been hearing about this for a month. I can't wait.
Yep. Bad Ronald, the way he describes it sounds like a movie we must all see. And he is going to explain to us why when he brings in clips from that. Also, live music on the program. How about Angels and Airwaves coming in today? Tom DeLonge, you looking forward to a performance on the Kevin and Angel this morning?
I'm looking forward to singing very cool songs that will be mystical and mysterious.
That'll be in the 8 o'clock hour here this morning. Plus, what's up with the yoked out mice? They've got super mice that are taking over the world. You can't believe what they've got these mice to do. If they could harness that power, then we wouldn't have to worry about ever generating energy again.
Mike is so jealous.
No, listen to me. You have no idea the levels of the physical accomplishments that these mice are doing is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Wow.
I saw one of these yoked out super mice on the side of the highway over the weekend. He was lifting a car over his head. I mean, it's just it's unbelievable the strength that these guys have.
One article I saw in like a muscle magazine said to equate it to a human being would be imagine a guy running a marathon with a piano over his head.
Wow.
That's to put it in human proportions.
That's impressive.
These are some mice, I'm telling you people. So all of that and more coming up, including Ralph's Showbiz Beat next, right after this in the world-famous K-Rock. Just because we were talking about the pink eye doesn't mean you have to pull out blurry, Mike. You probably try to be funny there, but not necessary. Not necessary.
Comedy gold.
Puddle of Mud on K-Rock. It's 106.7 KRQ, 549. Monday morning, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat for a new week. What's going on, Ralph?
I wish I had a Showbiz Beat for you, Bean. But the guy who writes my Showbiz Beat is on strike.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, oh, no.
I'm screwed.
Now what?
I got a few Koreans that's chained up in the office there, and they're banging away at
sure.
typewriters. And I came in this morning, and they were gone. They broke the chain. I don't know how it happened. But.
Now, I heard that there was a last-ditch mediation meeting at 10 o'clock yesterday morning between the people who make the TV shows and people who write the TV shows and movies.
There was.
But I never heard, obviously, nothing was solved because I know they're on strike. But what was the outcome? What were they saying about that meeting? Was there any progress made?
They had 10-hour-long talks in Los Angeles between the union and the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, and apparently they went nowhere. The worst news is that no new talks are scheduled.
Ooh.
So both sides are bracing themselves for a lengthy strike. After talks really were marked by pretty much intense hostility on both parts, but more in the past 3 months they've been talking. So the Writers Guild of America is on strike. East Coast Arm went out at the designated time of 12:01 a.m., and then here in the West Coast, their counterparts followed them about 3 hours later. The strike will affect, first and foremost, the late-night talk shows. Leno, Letterman, they're going immediately into reruns because they rely on a stream of topical jokes and there's nobody to write them. So, it's going to hurt.
Yep.
Sitcoms will probably be next. They tend to write close to their production dates. Dramatic television shows tend to, at least in this case, have stockpiled their scripts so they can shoot for a little while longer. And then movies will be affected last because the scripts for next year's films are already sold and in production, so
mm-hmm.
It sucks. But there you go. There's your writer's strike update.
Who's likely to be able to hold out longer? I would imagine the TV people. The
producers?
The studios. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they always have reruns to fall back on, and they've got reality television.
Yeah.
So, I guess, there's no winners in this, especially the viewers. Those are the people who are going to suffer the most. But, yeah, I guess the producers probably could hold out longer than the writers could.
I was thinking if all of my all my favorite shows go, I'll just turn off my DirecTV for a couple months, save some money.
Ralph, is this like sports, though, where if it gets to that point, they can use, like, non-union writers? They can get, like, a team of replacements?
I suppose they could go with scabs if they wanted to, but I can't imagine any writer would cross that picket line. The thing is, the Teamsters are talking about not crossing either, and that's going to affect production more than anything, because by union rules, you need like 19 Teamsters per donut on a set, so I'm not sure how it all works out. But
keep us posted.
Bad news. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? American Gangster slayed them at the box office. $46.3 million, making it number one.
Wow. That's a lot.
Surprisingly, number two was B-Movie, making $39 million. Pretty much right behind it.
Crazy, because they didn't advertise at all.
I know. I didn't even know Jerry Seinfeld was making a movie about bees.
Stealth.
Saw 4 was number 3 at the box office with $11 million. Then Dan in Real Life, the Steve Carell comedy, came in at number 4.
I saw that, by the way.
Did you?
It's a really charming,
I heard
funny
it's very
movie.
Funny and
it's
sweet.
It's good, yeah.
30 Days of Night, the vampire movie, was number 5. Martian Child, the new John Cusack movie, came in at number 6 with only $3.6 million in its debut weekend.
Ouch.
The Game Plan was number 7. Michael Clayton, number 8. Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married was number 9. And Gone Baby Gone Ben Affleck's directorial debut came in at number 10 with $2.4 million this weekend. Speaking of millions of dollars, Paris Hilton will be cashing in again this New Year's Eve. In Touch Weekly magazine reports that she is set to make a cool $1 million for appearing at LAX nightclub in Las Vegas on New Year's Eve.
That's hot.
Wow. Guys, if I'm at a party, it automatically becomes worse if Paris Hilton is at it. How is that worth paying for?
Well, Vegas insiders say it's a record-breaking payday for a performer in Sin City, being a host. But the club, they said, it's willing to pony up the cash because nobody draws a crowd like Paris, apparently, in Vegas. Mm.
Unbelievable.
I'd like to ask all of our listeners not to go to this party if she's there.
Yeah.
Do something else. And, you know, it's like you don't get to hang with her or something. She shows up on a balcony,
right,
and she waves to the crowd, and they usher her out the back door. I don't get it.
I am shocked at how much money she now makes just doing stuff like that. She makes millions and millions of dollars every year.
Stop whoring around, Paris. Stop being a whore.
Yeah.
She doesn't need the family money anymore.
It's not like they booked Madonna to play a club gig and that's, you know, worth the money. And you go because there's something to look at. When you go and you're in a room with Paris Hilton, there's nothing to look at. You all know what Paris Hilton looks like.
Right.
Yep.
See the video?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it. You're right. It's not like she performs and does anything. She just parties. And she gets
$1 million. They call it mystery meat.
Yeah. That's how she performs. This is sad news. You like the Disney World? You like the Disneyland?
Sure.
I love Disneyland. It's sad that Americans now are too fat for Disneyland.
What?
You know the It's a Small World ride?
Yes.
Apparently, Americans are now too fat to ride the ride.
Like you can't fit two of them into
seat? You can, Lisa, but now Americans are so fat that the boats in the It's a Small World ride are routinely bottoming out under the weight of the riders.
Oh, no.
And that brings the ride to a halt. So they have to close down the ride for 10 months so they can dredge out another inch under the boats and replace the boats with more buoyant models.
Oh, that's so sad. Wow.
Because Americans, on average, are about 25 pounds heavier today than they were when Disney opened the ride back in 1964.
Now, time out. This is a tourist-heavy place.
Yes.
Why are we placing all the blame on Americans? How do we not know we're getting a lot of, like, Bavarian plow, you know, pulling women coming in?
Yeah.
Have you looked outside?
Bills.
Yeah. Have you walked around this city?
Have you seen America lately?
Yeah, I know.
Other countries
I'm just thinking.
Catching up, but we lead the way by far.
Mm. Yeah. Also, it's a problem for Pirates of the Caribbean, too. They keep bottoming out the boats. They've gotten to the point where they're asking the people who run the rides, the kids who work there,
yeah,
to try to leave some empty seats when they put big fatties in the boats, try to reduce some of the wear and tear on the boats from scraping the bottom.
They're going to have that sign now, you know, the one that says you have to be this tall.
Must be this thin to get on the
right.
ride.
They have a silhouette, and if you're bigger than the silhouette,
must
you can't get on.
Weigh less than a Holstein to get on this ride.
Hey, anyone flown lately, by the way? Tell me those seats aren't just screaming under the pressure of the passengers now.
Of course, and just people spilling over the armrests.
Yeah.
Tough.
Stop, fatty.
Fat, 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 fat.
Stop being fat, fatty.
That's right.
That's all we ask. Hey, that Drew Carey, I like him.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's not a very political dude, but when he chooses his causes, they're good ones. There's a new website called Reason TV. And on there, you will see Drew Carey filming, he's filmed several mini documentaries showcasing the need and the right for people to have medical marijuana.
Good for him.
He says it's time for the federal government to reclassify marijuana and maintains that people should be able to get it safely and easily. In the documentaries, he wanders neighborhoods, pointing out liquor stores, pharmacies, Starbucks, and pretty much making us realize that you can get whatever you want to bring you up or bring you down in America, and it's time that marijuana caught up.
Yeah.
He couldn't be more right.
I absolutely agree.
Marijuana is just nature's way of saying hi.
Shia LaBeouf, star of Transformers and Disturbia, was arrested Sunday morning about 2:30 a.m. after a security guard in a Chicago Walgreens store called the cops because he wouldn't leave. The guard says he thought Shia was drunk, but the cops didn't breathalyze him because he wasn't driving, but he was charged with misdemeanor criminal trespassing.
What was going on at the Walgreens?
I don't know, but it must have been a pretty cool Walgreens. It
must have been a hell of a Halloween candy sale going on.
He would not stop browsing through the greeting cards. Apparently, he made bail, was out about 5 hours later, but the cops said he was very polite when they arrested him. No big deal, but he just would not leave the Walgreens.
You he's kind of famous for keeping his head down, you know?
Yeah, he's not much of a party guy as far as I know. But
He's a guy who has said as much in interviews, look, I'm never going to be that Hollywood star who gets into that kind of trouble where he's arrested in the middle of the night for doing something because my career is too important to me and I don't want to screw it up.
I guess all things considered, loitering at a Walgreens isn't a big offense.
Not really, no.
Still.
I saw that Disturbia again over the weekend, Ralph.
Yes, sir.
How terrific an actor is Shia LaBeouf?
He's awesome.
Consistently excellent.
Yeah, and he really grounded the Transformers, too, made it to a point where you could really get where you cared and you believed, you know?
Yeah.
He's working on another political thriller now in Chicago, and then he just, of course, finished Indiana Jones 4, too, so we'll be seeing a lot of him. And here's some casting news if you'd like to be on television. I usually bring these things up because I think some of our listeners may want to try out for some of these reality shows, but I might have to try out for this one.
Really?
Given the project. MTV is currently casting A Shot of Love 2. A Shot at Love 2. That's, of course, the show with Tila Tequila about the bisexual girl who's trying to decide whether she wants sausage or oysters. And apparently they're going to do a second one. Now, Tila, as far as I know, will not be the bisexual center of attention for this second season of Shot at Love.
But, oh.
Interesting.
They may find someone who's attractive for that position, which I think would be more tasty. But if you'd like if you're a lesbian or you're a straight guy who would like to date a bisexual woman, you can go to shotatlovecasting.com for all the details. Shotatlovecasting.com. Maybe you too can date the sexually confused.
You too is going to be on the show?
Oh, Bean.
Oh.
Today's celebrity birthday is Robert Patrick. He was, of course, one of the Terminators in the Terminator films. He was in the X-Files for a while, too. 49 years old today. Bryan Adams, the singer, is 48 years old today. And in a weird twist of fate, Ryan Adams also celebrates his birthday today. He's 33.
Nice.
As if it wasn't confusing enough. Judy Reyes from Scrubs turns 40 years old. Tatum O'Neill is 44 years old today. And Tilda Swinton, very talented British actress, who can currently be seen in Michael Clayton. If you haven't seen that movie with George Clooney, I highly recommend it. She is 47 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This can't be good that Dave the King of Mexico is in the studio with us.
2-0, baby.
2-0. That's what I was afraid of. I was afraid it was going to be the undefeated Clippers. I knew that was what he was here for.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, since you're here with us this morning, remember a couple weeks ago we had that intervention with our own Psycho Mike when we tried to make him realize that he couldn't tell a goddamn story?
Yeah.
Remember that? And
yeah, that was funny.
He wasn't happy with it. He was a little bit embarrassed, but I think ultimately he realized we all had his best interests at heart, and that's why we brought him in. That's why we, talked to him about it.
Yep.
Well, today's your turn, my friend.
All right, I won't talk about the Clippers anymore, dude.
It's not about the Clippers.
No, it's Clippers, at least, is a word you can pronounce. So that's good.
Right.
At least we know what you're talking about when you say Clippers. That comes through loud and clear.
Oh, okay.
It's some of the other words in the English language we're concerned about.
What do you mean? The problem is, Dave, that we're having a hard... Look, I know a lot of people run into a frustration in their day-to-day life with all the influx of immigrants into Southern California where they have trouble understanding, making regular conversation, but it's happening to us increasingly at work with you. We no longer can follow what you're trying to say to us anymore, Dave.
What are you talking about?
Well, let's say USC, right?
USC.
That's a college.
Yes.
What is a college, actually? You know, an elementary, grammar, high, you know, what kind of buildings are those?
Those are school buildings?
Yeah. But usually you don't say school building. Usually you say school.
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 School building.
I used to wrestle in high school.
That's exactly what he says.
Well, it's early in the morning. You know,
I never went to that school.
Sometimes
that school in the United States.
Not awake.
Right here in California. That's cool.
Now, let's say you had a keypad and you were pressing, engaging the little objects on that keypad, or you were buttoning up a shirt. What would you be using? What objects?
Wait, what?
What objects would you be using to close your shirt
in
the middle?
Your shirt, yeah. What are those things called?
Buttons.
Buttons. Yes, buttons.
Buttons.
By the way, I see our adventure with Mike to get him to tell a better story didn't pay off last week. I didn't even understand what the hell he was trying to do there. Okay, so the hardest button to button was one of Dave's all-time favorite songs.
Button to button.
Button to button,
and the lead singer for Coldplay is Chris Martin.
Chris Martin.
Yeah, Chris Martin.
And you butter your bread.
I butter my bread. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Butter my bread.
And Lucifer is Satan.
You say Satan?
Satan.
I do say Satan. I can't say that word.
But why, Dave? Let me
not
ask.
Say that word. You were born in this country.
It's, I don't think it's...
Can you not, or are you just lazy?
Can you make the T sound with your tongue? Can you say Satan?
I can.
Let's hear it.
Satan.
There you go.
You can say it.
Why do you say Satan?
I don't know, dude. I'm just talking fast. And
you the thing that's perplexing is you were born here. You never spoke another language.
Nope.
And as you get older, it's getting worse. It's not as if you're improving.
That's the point. I think so.
Well, what city is this radio station in?
Los Angeles.
LA. How do you abbreviate?
LA.
LA, yes.
LA.
LA.
Yeah.
L is in the freaking Spanish language. L is one of the major words of the Spanish language.
I don't know Spanish. So
we don't know English either.
That's what hurts, is that this is your first and only language. The other day, Dave was trying to tell me that he likes to watch videos of ballads.
What's that?
A ballad. Yes.
I screwed that one up.
I smoked too much dop, and I couldn't say ballad.
Dave, what's the name of the new Angelina Jolie movie, the animated one that Ralph was giving away the tickets to last week?
Beowulf.
What? No.
I'm sorry? What is it, Dave?
It's Beowulf.
Beowulf?
Beowulf. I still can't say it.
I can't say it.
Wolf. Why is it a wolf? You're not four.
That's the one word I know I can't say.
You're incapable of putting an L before an F. Wolf.
Yeah.
What are those wild dogs that run in the hills? What are they called in the Arctic?
Well,
wolf. Say it, Dave.
Wolf.
Say it.
Can
you hear it?
Say it.
He can't.
I can't say that word.
What's the Duran Duran song? It's hungry like a what?
Wolf.
It's not a wolf. What are you, three?
I can't say that word. Leave me alone.
All right.
That's a one word I can't say. I know I can't say it, and it's not funny.
I think you need to learn a new language, one that you can actually pronounce.
Yeah,
I think you
need to shut up. Maybe take some French classes or something.
I think really the whole point is that we like you, Dave, and people usually make conscious efforts to try to change, you know, their speaking problems. Like, for instance, Ralph, when he moved here from Philly, made a conscious effort to try to get rid of his Philly accent.
Yes.
Put H's in front of words that usually I drop.
Actors and broadcasters from the East Coast a lot of times will do the same, being from New York, whatever. Especially immigrants who come to this country from another country, they really go out of their way to try to make sure that they can speak properly. And you were born here. You've lived here all your life.
I'm going the opposite way, though. I'm trying to fit in, you know?
Yeah,
I'm
but you're, to fit you're in kind of a East broadcaster. Coast, you know?
Kinda,
I think you have
barely.
A bit of a responsibility. Yeah. You're on the air here.
I'm representing the people.
What the people who can't talk.
People can't speak.
Yes. I'm their voice.
Maybe you should do radio for people can't hear.
That would be good.
But the This Is Santa Monica guy was even complaining he can't understand you. That's how bad it's getting.
Oh, the guy who calls into the phones? Hey, that's another good point, by the way, Dave. Your living is made by talking to people on the telephone. Just like in any other customer service business, don't you kind of have a responsibility to be easily understood?
Yeah, I've never had a problem on the phones.
Not according to the people we
Mike just said the Santa Monica guy. Says he can't follow you anymore.
What are you talking about? I barely talked to that guy.
You barely talked to him? You barely talked to him?
Back, my little immigrant friend.
I barely talked to him. Last time was Valentine's Day when I went out and got some shrimps.
Not cool, man. Not cool.
Not cool.
I took a shower and then I had some chicken.
Well, Dave was thinking maybe you should go back to school.
Or stop drinking heavily and doing other stuff.
I don't think that's what it is.
No, I think Rob's hit it right on the button.
Yeah. Go back to school. It would be cool if you went back to school.
Learn you how could to say go right wolf. Here in LA.
Right here in LA. Learn how to say wolf. I think that'd be pretty good.
It wouldn't be too roof.
good luck with that, Dave.
That's rough. That's your rough. Roof.
I've never ever said rough.
It's right here on the sheet.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from.
Nice shot, Lisa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I tried.
All right, Dave.
You're not cool.
Stop it. I think what we're saying is stop it.
Yeah. All right. I will be proper now and say chip, chip, cheerio and all that other crap.
Yep. That's exactly what we're asking, Dave. See, it's like a basketball team. You rotate guys out into the second and third quarter, bring in some fresh legs. That's what's going on. So now we got Kevin in here, too.
How about that?
Yay.
It's 6:20 on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. We don't do enough science on this show for my money, but this is one I think you guys will all get behind. We're talking about super mice. Now, what they're trying to do ultimately, the goal of the research that the scientists are doing is to try to continue to explore the fat gene that they discovered a few years ago, what it is that makes people obese. And they're looking for ways to learn how to turn that on and off so that people can eventually, and I think this will probably happen, eat whatever they want and never gain any weight. I think that's the goal of the research.
That's a worthy goal.
It's the goal of my life.
Can you imagine?
Absolutely, yeah.
Be awesome.
Where it's probably headed also, by the way, and another reason why this research about the super mice is so significant, is gene manipulation, which isn't drugs. And imagine what people would be able to do. I mean, you'd run a marathon in, you know, in an hour and 15 minutes or something if you were able to do this to humans, what they're doing to mice. And that's why it's so fantastic, and that's why we need to figure out what's going on with it.
They're more active, they're leaner, they have more sexual stamina, thank God, because mice don't reproduce. And longer lifespans than ordinary mice.
That all seems very good.
They can put them on a treadmill. I guess they have a mouse treadmill.
I'd like to see that.
I guess. And regular mice will run a certain amount of minutes, like 91 or something like that. And these super, like, yoked out mice are doing, like, 31 minutes, and they're not tired.
Wow.
No one sees a downside in this. No one sees a planet of mice and us being their slaves.
I don't think the mice are going to take over or anything like that. But
what are you basing that on?
Because they're mice. What do you think they're going to do?
Kick our asses.
but if this works, we'll have the same genes. We'll be strong enough to kick their asses.
If they allow it, yes.
We still.
Why don't we do it to like a nice pet, like a German Shepherd or a Golden Retriever dog puppy? Everyone loves no aggression. This is a mouse.
Mouses are aggressive.
They are. Yes,
Lightning, to line us up the laboratory where the research is being done. It's at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, and I believe we have them on the line right now. Good morning. It's Kevin Amici on K-Rock here.
What? What do you want?
We're calling to speak with one of the researchers who's working on the Mighty Mouse program.
Screw them. You got one of the mice.
Ooh. Whoa.
You can answer a phone now?
Yes, I can.
Oh.
I can tear a phone in half.
Well, why would you want to?
I don't know, but I could if I wanted to.
All right.
Why is it you sound so upset? I would imagine this research would make you feel better than you ever had before.
It does.
I'm angry.
But I've got roid rage.
Oh,
oh
gosh. Sure.
Oh, that's what it is.
We're more aggressive, these mice.
Yeah.
Right there in the story. Read it. It's about third paragraph down.
Not good.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. More aggressive. I see.
Yeah.
Okay. But you can run really far. You can run really fast. You don't get tired. You live longer. You weigh less. You have more sex. It sounds like it's a perfect life.
Yeah, it is. And I am swole. I am yoked.
Yeah.
I am ripped. I am shredded.
Now, what kind of cages do they keep you guys in?
Steel cages.
Uh-huh.
And we have death matches inside them.
Is that right?
I've killed everyone. I'm the last mouse left.
Wow.
All hail Twinkie the mouse.
Your name is Twinkie?
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Wow, that's not a scary name.
Ah! Now,
what about what Kevin fears, which is that now that mice have this this gene turned on, that you guys will take over the world?
Hold on, I'm right in the middle of a set. Hold on a second. Okay. I gotta finish. 8, 9, 10. All right. I just pressed a Mini Cooper.
A car?
Yeah!
You just pressed it 10 times.
That's right. Next, I'm going to try a Maxi Cooper, because that's how strong I am.
I don't think they have... never mind. Twinkie, what about taking over the world? Do you look to take the mice out of the laboratory and into the human population?
You give me some cheese and everything will be fine.
But if we don't?
I will kill you!
Have you killed any humans yet, Twinkie?
Not yet, no.
Not
but
even
I'm working on it.
Not even the guy that gave you the name Twinkie?
No. But we don't have opposable thumbs. That's the only problem.
Oh.
As soon as I grow some, you're screwed.
Now, let me ask about this, the sex aspect of the story.
Yeah.
Are the girl mice also getting the gene, or are you just exhausting the crap out of them?
I destroy female mice. I rip them up.
Oh.
I was in a cage with a broad named Daisy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I split her like a pair of eights. I drove her like a cheap rent-a-car. I'm constantly horny, and I'm enormously strong.
Right.
I raped a cat.
What?
Oh.
I raped a cat.
No kidding, a cat.
That's how bad I am.
What? You are a badass.
How do you like me now?
Wow.
Booyakaw!
Pretty impressive.
Dude, I just downloaded some Fallout Boy on my iPod.
Is that right?
It gets me pumped. It's a little tiny iPod.
I wouldn't have guessed that. You have tiny iPods?
It's not a big iPod.
Really?
It's small. It fits right in a mouse's ears.
Right.
It's little. It's a mini iPod.
Are you saying the size of it is...
Not big.
Not big.
Okay.
But I'm strong.
Right.
Small but strong.
We got that, yeah.
I'm a strong mouth.
Now, where do you see this going? What's your goal?
This bit?
Yes. Either one. Either one.
I see the bit sort of trailing off.
Okay.
And
Is it funny before it trails off, or does it just trail?
It gets less funny,
less funny
as it trails.
Okay, so the more time we spend before we go to the commercial, probably the worse radio it would be.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we missed our optimum get out point a while ago.
So what would you do now exactly?
I would I'd hit one of those buttons if I had a thumb.
Right now, the Afro line 323-520-AFRO is the number. You can leave us a message 24 hours a day. I guess this person called Saturday/Sunday night.
Happy Daylight Saving Day!
Having some kind of a party.
Okay.
Bean loves it when you say Daylight Savings, by the way. Yes. Makes him very happy.
Well, it is wrong, and it doesn't make sense, and it's now standard time, so he's just wrong on every level.
Wow.
Okay, don't care. The writers might strike. This is going to suck.
You know, I was really disappointed when I heard that there was going to be a writer's strike. I thought, oh, great, we're going to have repeats of Kevin and Bean. But then they said it was just going to be primarily comedy writers. So I guess the Kevin and Bean show will be on as scheduled.
Yeah, no difference here, I'm happy to say.
Glad that it's the 5th of Blovember, and we are out of Rocktober.
The only bit that sucks more than the Halloween spook song is the November bit that you've been doing for 20 years. So all I got to say is, gobble, 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 gobble.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. You know what
yes.
I'm saying. You know what I'm saying.
We are days away from the call to the Butterball Turkey Hotline.
This time of the year, there should be a hotline you can call with questions about cooking turkeys, a special 800 number where the phones are staffed by experts.
Yes?
There is.
What do you mean?
The Butterball Hotline.
Butterball has a hotline?
Yeah. It's an 800 number. The phones are staffed by experts.
Are you kidding me?
No.
God, I'm sorry. I love my country. Charlie, get me the number for the Butterball Hotline.
Yes, sir.
It was awesome on the West Wing. It's even more awesome when we make the call at the end of November every year on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
This is one of my pet peeves because it's never, ever been funny. Ever.
Oh, you know what? You don't remember from last year or the year before where I play the farmer who's trying to catch the turkey.
I know how it works.
And then Ralph plays the turkey who's running away from me. And we call the Butterball Turkey Hotline, Kevin.
Mike,
to get advice on how to catch the turkey.
Mike, I need you to go back and see if you can find, I don't know if you can or not, but try and find that bit for the last several years.
Okay.
Because I'd like to play the endings for Bean.
No problem.
Because he remembers them beautifully.
They were hilarious.
Yes.
I remember.
Nothing funnier, I know.
Thank you, Lisa.
So funny.
Right.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate that.
Bean's blog is up and running again. A sign that there's too much bandwidth. We officially have too much bandwidth if this is going on.
Hey, guys. Did you know that I read on Bean's blog today that pumpkins were once prescribed for removing freckles and treating snake bites? God damn you, Bean. Damn you straight to hell. Why don't you and your blog just, like, go off into the wilderness and die? I mean, just kill yourself, you freak.
Thank you for the support. You can find my blog at stronglywordedletter.com. And by the way, Kevin, I actually put a strongly worded letter on stronglywordedletter.com yesterday.
Wow. That's an improvement.
Your big complaint was that it didn't have enough strongly worded letters. It really had more interesting facts.
Well,
so I took that to heart.
You could call it complaintsaboutthegovernment.com, and if you're putting on pumpkin facts, it doesn't make any sense.
Nope.
Should be what it's labeled. This guy just wants to clarify the record.
Man, I just want to let you guys know that I love women a whole lot, and that's about it.
All right.
Was there a
question?
Thank
you for the update.
Thank you very much. Our intern Beer Mug has a little problem with the liquor. Just a tiny problem. He has a beer mug tattooed on the top of his foot. That's where he got his nickname. Well, he went to Vegas this weekend for a bachelor party / friend's birthday party.
Oh, boy.
And,
Hey, it's Mug reporting live from Vegas. Okay. First off, you know how you guys learned a little something about me at the beginning of my internship that I have a gambling problem?
Yes.
Well, I was up about 800. Now I'm down about 12.
Ouch.
So my goal is to make all my money back by the end of this trip. It's only Friday. But I'm going to make my money back.
Down $1,200 on the first day of a three-day trip.
And our little Meggy doesn't have that kind of money.
No, he
doesn't. No. But at least he's not one to chase it. So he calls in a little bit later in the weekend, probably Friday night, Saturday morning-ish, after he's had a chance to win it back.
Hey, it's Muggs for a second time. I'm in love with a stripper.
Okay, now, where exactly do you think this is going?
I don't know, but it sounds like he took his eye off the mission, which was to try to win his money back.
Hey, it's Muggs for a second time. I'm in love with a stripper, and she took all my money, and it's not at all funny.
That's true.
I'm a poet, didn't even know it. I don't know how I'm getting home. This is a mess. Again.
So all the money that he was going to use to win back his money went to a stripper.
Gave to a stripper.
As you listen to the Shape That Beer magazine, Kevin, I want you to remember that he was here on time this morning and you weren't. And this is where he was. This is the point he was starting from.
And then the very unfortunate last call.
It's Muggs for the fifth and final time. Actually, it's the third and final time. My friends are calling. They're down. They will party out anybody. I don't even know if we're making sense right now. This is f***ing ridiculous. Ridiculous, dude. I spent all my money on hookers. I spent all my money on blow. I spent all my money on everything. I don't even know where to go. Erase the message.
What was that last part?
Erase the message.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nope.
They found him dead. Muggs was 24.
Well, I cannot believe I'm saying this, but it's raining in the OC.
I know, it's crazy. I got to tell you, the traffic is a nightmare. The 405 is jammed. The 5, the 710, they're all gridlocked.
Stay safe, stay dry, and let's all pray for sunshine.
Yeah, let's do that. Where was the writer's strike when we needed it?
Look.
Hey, come on, let's all pray for sunshine.
How come Lisa sounded fine and I was bad?
Because she can act. Totally fine. Nothing wrong with her performance. Let's hear that again.
Well, I cannot believe I'm saying this, but it's raining in the OC.
I know, it's crazy. I got to tell you, the traffic is a nightmare. The 405 is jammed. The 5, the 710, they're all gridlocked.
Stay safe, stay dry, and let's all pray for sunshine.
I believe that was the last episode of the OC that aired before Fox made the decision to cancel it, come to think of it.
Yeah. And they should have.
Stay safe, stay dry, and let's all pray for rain.
Sunshine.
Like it matters at that point.
It's your line, Kevin. 6:48 on the Kevin Abid Show. Hey, you want to own a town? You can. A town in Texas for sale on eBay. We'll talk to the current owner coming up after the news at 7. Plus, Ralph's Video Vault makes its return this morning with a film called Bad Ronald. I can't wait for. And live music from Angels and Airwaves, all straight ahead on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, time for the Showbiz Beat at 6:48.
You have no idea how good Bad Ronald is.
Excellent.
Or how bad good Ronald is. I can't really figure it out. But, yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun with that. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies of the box office this weekend, shall we?
Okay.
Boy, American Gangster just did monster numbers this weekend. $46.3 million in its debut.
Wow.
Anyone see it?
No, not yet.
I didn't catch up with it, no.
None of us were more excited about a movie than that. I didn't see it. Ralph didn't see it. Lisa didn't see it. I tried about 5 times, and then something came up, or I couldn't. All right, I'll go to this showing. Okay, I'll go to that showing. I just couldn't do it.
I have a couple of friends who tried, and it was sold out.
I heard it was sold out on a lot of screens.
Yeah. Bean, did you see it?
I did not, but I definitely will see it this week.
None of us saw it.
Here's the thing. It's really hands across the water here.
What does that mean?
You got the blacks who love Denzel going.
Yes.
Yeah.
You got the whites who like Russell Crowe and Denzel going.
Right.
So you got a huge audience potential there full of people.
It's R-rated though, right?
Yes, it is.
That's a huge number for an R-rated
movie.
Then
people love the F-word. That's another audience you can tap into.
Sure.
So they all went. People love bullets. There's that sucker. They went.
People love drugs.
Yes.
Drugs, pimp coats. Women love both of those actors very much, too.
Yep. They do. So, it was a great gambit on their part. $46.3 million makes it number one by far. B-movie. A lot of Bs went to see this, I guess. $39 million it made.
That's a lot.
Making it number two, yeah.
Usually number one, right?
Yeah, exactly. Saw 4 was number 3 at the box office, which is very confusing.
Yeah. Yes.
Dan in Real Life was number 4. Then at number 5, 30 Days of Night, the vampire film, came in at number 5. Martian Child, the new John Cusack movie in its debut, just made $3.6 million. Only made it number 6 this weekend. The Game Plan, Michael Clayton, Why Did I Get Married by Tyler Perry, and Gone Baby Gone rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Bean alluded to it moments ago. It happened early this morning. The Writers Guild of America did, in fact, go on strike.
Good times.
First walkout in almost 2 decades. the talks with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers fell apart after about 10 hours yesterday, and so the worst part is no new talks are scheduled, so who knows when this thing will be settled. But it will hit our favorite talk shows first, Leno, Letterman, Jimmy. They'll all go into reruns immediately because they rely on a stream of topical jokes, and the writers aren't there to do it.
Leno less than most.
Yeah, Leno, yeah, right. Yeah. You could show reruns, Leno, you'd never know the difference. But then the sitcoms, I guess, will get hit because they only stockpiled so many scripts, and then the dramatic series, and then films leased because they've already got their scripts for next year's movies that they're in production with now. So,
I have a very important question, guys.
Yes.
Will Tyra's vagina show be affected that is scheduled to air today?
I think that one was already in the can.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Plus, I find it hard to believe that she uses writers in any capacity on that show, quite frankly. But I believe her her tribute to the hoo-ha will be airing as scheduled today.
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Tyra is a whore, a big f***ing whore.
It's my favorite ride at Disneyland.
You don't really need writers to be a whore.
That's true.
That's it.
You just be whoring around.
Just whore it.
Speaking of whores.
Whore.
Right?
Whore.
Paris Hilton's cashing in again. In Touch Weekly has announced that she is set to make $1 million for appearing at the LAX nightclub in Vegas on New Year's Eve.
Oh, my God.
Who's your whore? Who's your whore?
They're paying her a mil just to show
$1 million.
It is a record-breaking payday for a host at a party in Vegas, but the club says they're willing to pony up the cash because nobody draws a crowd like she does.
Wow.
That's
a crowd of flies.
Oh, no, you didn't.
How do you do it?
Here's what I'm thinking. It's Vegas on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
LAX is a brand new smoking hot nightclub in that town.
Yeah, it's got a good buzz.
How much more do they need?
Yeah.
It's going to be...
It's going to be impossible to get into.
Yeah, it's going to be impossible.
Without her, it would be jam-packed.
Yeah.
For your $1 million, how many more people are you getting in there? How many more drinks are you selling to make it worthwhile?
That's a good question.
It's just stupid. Just dumb.
She should be performing acts on every person that comes in there for that amount of money.
Yes, she should.
Don't mention that whore to me.
Great news.
Yes.
I like to follow up the bad news with the good news.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, it seems like they're recycling a lot of TV shows these days.
Right.
Certainly.
Bionic Woman is back. Battlestar Galactica. Knight Rider is returning to NBC.
Yes.
Only if it stars our man.
I'm sorry, it does not, Kevin. Justin Bruning is the name of the actor. He apparently is a soap opera star on All My Children. He plays Jamie Martin on that soap.
This is a mess.
Bruning will play the son of Michael Knight.
Please. Who inherited the car?
I guess so. Yeah.
Same car or a different car?
No
the son
word,
of the car.
No word on what Kit will look like, but he will be driving a talking car. And no word yet if Hasselhoff is going to be making a cameo or not as Dad Knight.
Wow.
But we'll have to wait and see.
I was hoping they'd give that gig to Beer Mug now that we've heard his voicemail messages from Las Vegas. He's ready to step into Hasselhoff.
He really is son of Hasselhoff.
This is a mess.
Speaking of Hasselhoff's kids, he tells In Touch Weekly magazine that his daughter, Haley Hasselhoff, is a chip off the old block, says David.
Oh, no.
The 15-year-old has launched into a modeling career.
Oh.
She's getting into show business.
Oh, I thought you'd been drinking.
No, not yet. She will be.
Is this her?
Tell me you're going to stop.
I don't know if that's her or not.
I'm going to stop.
Promise?
No.
Yes?
Huh? I'll be fine.
He's got a couple
girls. I think
that's
a younger one.
Yeah.
That's younger? Okay.
15-year-old Haley has signed on to be the face of a plus-sized clothing chain called Torrid.
That girl's fat.
She chip off the old... Sounds like a chunk off the old block, quite frankly.
Fatty.
Yeah. Nothing better than hot clothes for young fat girls.
Yeah.
She's going to blow up. She's going to explode.
What
I mean,
mean,
literally. As a model and then as a person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I did this story earlier, but I love it so much I have to talk about it again. Speaking of fat, tragic news for all of America.
Uh-oh.
It is announced that Disneyland is going to have to close It's a Small World.
Why?
Because they need to dig out another inch underneath the boats that go through it. Because Americans now are so fat that the boats keep bottoming out during the ride, and it brings the whole ride to a screeching halt.
I have what doctors call a little bit of a weight problem.
Because Americans are on average 25 pounds heavier today than they were when Disney opened the ride in 1964, the boats are bottoming out.
This has to be a joke.
It isn't.
That's awesome.
They've tried asking the people who run the ride, when you put a supersized rider in there, leave some empty seats.
Right.
Just leave out a couple people. Still, people still scrape in the bottom. Same problem with Pirates of the Caribbean, by the way.
Oh, that's awesome.
So they're going to close the rides and dredge out another inch or two underneath the boats to give them people a little more clearance because their fat asses are sinking the boats and it's a small world.
Wow.
Hey, fatty. You are fat.
You were 58 pounds overweight when you came down here, weren't you?
Yes, sir.
You were a fat slob. You looked like the great white whale, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
You're going to lose every ounce of that 58 pounds, you hear?
Yes, sir.
Every day at chow, you will show me your trade.
Yes, sir.
You ain't going to eat no bread, no corn, no pie, cake, desserts of any kind, no whole milk, no beans, no butter, no sugar, no potatoes, candy, ice cream, salad dressings, or peanut butter.
Yes, sir.
You came here with nothing but fat. You're going to leave here with nothing but muscle.
Yes, sir.
Wow. You know, they used to have that sign that said you have to be this tall to ride? Put a scale out there.
That's right.
Just put a scale out. Too fat to ride. Sorry.
Can't be wider than Mickey's hands in order to get on the boat.
That piece of tape, by the way, is the new interview process at Disneyland when you buy a ticket.
That's awesome. And sad news for Smashing Pumpkins fans.
Uh-oh.
Bit of a health problem causing them to reschedule a bunch of shows they had to put off. According to the band's official website, Jimmy Chamberlain was taken to a hospital in Atlanta on Tuesday.
Hmm.
He was suffering severe chest pains. It turns out he had a partial arterial blockage.
Oh my God.
So doctors had to go in and Roto-Rooter his artery and clean him up. And
wow.
Apparently, the five shows that have been postponed will now start happening later in November. So apparently he's well enough to get back on tour. So
I'm surprised Billy hasn't already fired him like he fires everyone else. Yeah. Just replaced him with someone.
I'm surprised they're getting along for some reason. I guess Jimmy and Billy are the ones who get along.
Right.
And if you are so inclined, if you have no shame, if you'd like to
that's me. What do you got?
Find true love.
Oh.
Kevin, you'll be happy to know that MTV has announced they are currently seeking cast members for the second season of A Shot at Love.
Yeah!
I thought we heard that whore wasn't going to be asked back.
Apparently
she's
not, but they're finding another bisexual to be the object of the affection of lesbians and straight men everywhere.
Carmen Electra.
Ooh.
Come on. She's bisexual.
Come on.
Wouldn't that be good?
Come on. That would be good.
Ralph was saying earlier, although he's a married guy, may have to sign up just to be on Shot of Love, the world's greatest dating reality show. And it would just be awesome if you did, Ralph, and it turned out it's Sandra Oh.
Yeah,
oh, that would be
good. Awesome. And I could scream out from they'd throw me off, and I'd be outside the house going, Sandra! Sandra! You're with the wrong guys!
Oh, that's such a good show.
It really is the best.
They're not going to try and step it up on the contestants, though, are they?
I don't believe so. I think they're looking for stupid white trash still.
Excellent. Excellent.
Okay. So if you fall into that category, shotatlovecasting.com is where you want to go to fill out your application. Of course, if you can actually fill out an application, you're probably overqualified for Shot at Love. You may not; they might not take you, but you can fill out in crayon or something. You might luck out. Today's celebrity birthday is Robert Patrick. You know him from The Terminator, Terminator 2,
mm-hmm.
The X-Files. Remember he was on X-Files for a while? He was
sure.
Also in The Sopranos, played the owner of the goods store that they roughed him up.
He was Johnny Cash's dad in I Walk the Line.
There you go. What a career that Robert Patrick's had, huh? And his brother.
Who's his brother?
Something else, Patrick.
Richard?
Richard Patrick was the lead singer
the
guitarist
Filter.
For Filter. Yeah,
yeah,
that's I had no idea.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he was in Filter.
And Butch Patrick was a guy on The Munsters.
Played any
who was
monster.
No way related to either of them.
Not at all.
Okay.
And St. Patrick is the guy who drove snakes out of Ireland.
That's right.
No good, connection good one, whatsoever.
Ralph.
Thanks.
I'm out.
Patrick Ewing.
Doesn't work if it's a first name, Mike.
I'm sorry.
Played a game.
Bryan Adams is 48 years old today, and Ryan Adams is 33 years old today. And John Adams was the third president of the United States.
But it's not his birthday.
And Don Adams played Maxwell Smart in the old series Get Smart.
He did, yes.
Yeah.
And
so
Adam
they don't
West
email you.
Was on.
No, no, it doesn't work with
not
Adam.
The first name.
Damn it.
John Adams was second president, just so they don't email you, Ralph.
Oh, I should have known. Bean would catch me in my lie of presidential history.
Yeah.
Once again, foiled. By the super genius.
You don't want to. You don't want to run anything presidential by Bean.
No, I don't. Quick, Bean, 23rd president.
Well, that's Benjamin Harrison.
Oh my God!
I think you're confusing interesting with boring.
Judy Reyes from Scrubs is 40 years old today, and Tilda Swinton. Speaking of Michael Clayton, that movie with George Clooney, she's in it, and she is terrific. 47 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I may have acted too soon, Kevin. You know, when I decided a few years ago to move out of Southern California, I came very close to moving to Texas. Texas was actually my first choice. That's where I wanted to move, was Texas.
Right.
But it was too hot for my wife, so we couldn't go. So we ended up moving to Seattle, Washington, as you know. But if I'd have known about Albert, Texas, if I'd have known that this opportunity was right on the horizon, I might have just held out and insisted, because 13 acres and you own your own town? Sounds too good to be true. So we asked producer Lightning to line up Bobby Cave for us. He is the current owner of a town for sale on eBay, Albert, Texas. Bobby Cave joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show. Good morning, Bobby.
Hi, how y'all doing this morning?
We're good.
Well, we're doing fine. Boy, I'll tell you, there's a lot of real estate for sale at all times in this country, but you certainly have gotten people's attention by putting a whole town on eBay.
it's been quite a ride here for the last 3 or 4 days.
How long have you owned this town?
I bought Albert about 3.5 years ago. I was on my way home from Luckenbach, Texas, on my way back to Austin, and literally took a back road just to go see an old rock schoolhouse that I had heard about.
Right.
And there's a for sale sign in front of the little 1950s house. And when I called the real estate guy on Monday, he said the whole town was for sale. So being a lover of history and a lover of those kinds of things, I did everything I could to get my hands on it.
See, that's the difference between you and I, is he would say the town's available. And I go, why would I want a town?
I'm with Bobby, though. Bobby is totally my kind of people. All right, so you bought the town. Did you then move to the town, Bobby?
I did. I didn't right away. My plan was to clean the property up, which took us about 9 months to a year, and then we rustically renovated one of the old buildings out there to resemble a little general store, kind of ice house.
Okay.
And used a lot of the old materials. And I thought I would be running it remotely from Austin as I was getting into some developing and real estate projects here, but ended up moving out there for a year and I loved it. I mean, living on the property, I live in the little house and basically ran the bar for a year and kind of got it going and got all the marketing going.
So what else is there? There's a bar. Is there a grocery store, post office?
There's not a post office or a grocery store. There's not a Walmart. There is a great old dance hall right on the property. Just adjacent to the property, owned by the county, is an old rock schoolhouse that LBJ went to in 1920. Hmm.
But that's not in the town.
That's not in the sale of the town, but it's definitely a part of the history of Albert.
So there's
actually named the Albert School.
So there's a dance hall, and there's a bar, and a house.
And a house across the street. There's a pecan orchard, a peach orchard, a beautiful creek running through the property. We own both sides of the creek, so that could be a nice swimming hole one day.
What makes it a town exactly? I don't get this.
Well, there used to be a post office.
Okay.
And I think in Texas, when there's a post office established, then it does become a township. And
township.
If the post office ever moves, it isn't like the town goes away. It's on Texas maps. There are road signs that say Albert. There's upper and lower Albert Road.
But you didn't redo the post office so that there's a working one now?
No, there's a post office just 5 miles away. I really didn't want all of the rules and regulations that go with a true incorporated township. We just love the idea that, you know, we could throw a concert out there anytime we wanted to without having to bend over backwards. We food and wine festivals. Pretty much you can do almost anything with just a little permission from the county.
And you act as the sheriff and as the doctor, right? You can do anything. It's your town.
Pretty much. I prefer the owner, proprietor, / bartender, that guitar player. Those are a little more... Those are easier titles to handle.
All right.
This is Bobby Cave. We're talking to on the phone. He is the owner of a town called Albert, Texas, that's for sale on eBay right now. So are you and your family the only people who live on in that town, on that 13 acres, Bobby?
Well, my family lives – they don't live there. My mom and dad live in New Mexico. My brother lives in San Antonio. And so
you
forth.
Can't even get your family interested in living there. Come on, Bobby. Come on. This doesn't have a post office. It doesn't have a grocery store. It has a bar, a dance hall, and one house.
What more do you need?
Well, ask your family that.
Hey, 13 acres, though. I don't know what it's going to end up selling for, but 13 acres, you know, 60 miles from San Antonio, sounds like a pretty good deal to me. Now, Bobby, you started out with what opening bid on eBay?
Well, my gosh, a week ago, I think it went on about a week ago. Our first bid was for $10.
And then I could get that.
If you look at the bidding history, It, you know, just started climbing up. Nobody, I didn't post the reserve that I had on it of 2.5 million.
Oh, that's the minimum that you're willing to take, you mean?
That's the minimum.
Okay.
It jumped above 2.5 3 days ago. So we're
really
well on our way.
What's it up to?
What is out there?
What's the bid at?
The bid right now is at $3,800,000, last I looked, right before your phone call.
Okay.
How about that? Okay. So I wonder what somebody's going to do with that. I mean, it doesn't sound like you've done much with it. I wonder what the next person's going to do with the town.
The place is really made for a road trip destination. It's great for festivals, concerts, chili cook-offs.
Because there's no buildings.
And no people.
That's because there's no buildings and no people.
You know, you can have a chili cook-off with one can of chili, Bobby.
One of y'all get on the computer and go to albertexas.com, if you can, in the studio.
Yeah.
And check out the photo gallery. I think that'll give you a good indication what happens out there on the weekend.
There's two of us, Bobby, here on the show, and this is Kevin speaking. I don't think I have – I think I have zero interest in buying a town, which is why I'm coming off this way. But Bean, my partner, very excited about this kind of opportunity.
Absolutely.
He would do it in a second.
This is ideal. I mean, the more you can – the more isolated you can be, the fewer people you can have around, the more ideal the situation. It says here on your website, population 4 of Albert, Texas right now.
There's a story behind that, and I'll make it brief. Population 1, because I was living out there, sounded a little bit too lonely. Population 2 sounded like I was married, which I'm not yet.
Right.
And population 3 was – Luckenbach boasts a population of 3, even though we don't know who they are or where they are. So I just went for 4. That was the next
– This is what I like, though. If you own the town, the population does not have to be based on any number of people. You just make
it up. Just make it up.
Sure. Hey, I just picked the number 4.
Let me tell you guys a story in our remaining moments with Mr. Cave here. And Bobby's going to back me up on this because he knows the area. One of the many times that I've visited to Texas on vacation over the years, because it really is one of my favorite places on earth, I went into Luckenbach, Texas. They got a general store out there in Luckenbach, probably not dissimilar from the one you have in Albert, I imagine, Bobby. And the day that I went there, I bought some soda and some chips and a couple things, and there was nobody behind the counter. And there was a sign on the counter that said, just leave the money here for whatever you bought.
You mean they trusted people?
They trust people to do it. Bobby, am I lying about that? Have you seen that? You know what I'm talking about?
You are dead on. We actually do that at my bar during the week. Yeah, people can wander in, grab a beer, and leave money on the counter.
No kidding.
Exactly. That was one of my experiences in Luckenbach, Texas. That's one of the reasons why I fell in love with that part of Central Texas, because it really is just great people and a beautiful country out there, too.
Hold on one second. I just have one more question. You're the bartender, and that's pretty much all you do. But why would someone have to leave money?
You are picking on me.
No, I'm just saying, if the only thing you do is bartend, why do people have to leave money? Why can't you give them a beer?
Well, I actually do have a full-time bartender out there. But we during the week, because we're not exactly open, I have strict instructions to my groundskeeper out there that if somebody pulls up and they want a cold beer, we open up the bar, we serve them, we chat, we turn on the music. And
all right, that works. That's good.
See? Yeah, that's pretty cool.
He's a busy man. He's being a proprietor, man. 13 acres is a lot to mow, Kevin. You don't know, man.
That works right there. That's good. I like opening the bar for anyone. That's good.
Bobby Cave is the owner of Albert, Texas. All you have to do is go on eBay and just type in Albert if you want to get more information. Albert, Texas is the name of the town. And good luck with that, Bobby. Hope it all works out for you, dude.
Appreciate it. You guys have a good day.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
You understand there used to be a post office there, not now.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a deal breaker. That's a deal breaker for me, by the way. I got to have a post office. Ralph, do you hear Kevin going all Mike Wallace on that poor guest we had on a few minutes ago?
He was rough.
Was I being mean?
Just drilling the guy, man.
He was just trying to sell some property, man. Just
but he's seeing
a squirrel looking for a nut. That's all.
Saying it's a town and it does nothing.
What is it? Do nothing. There's no buildings.
There's no nothing there.
What's good for chili cook-off? You suck.
But there's no buildings.
But it's 13 acres of
beautiful
land.
Okay, so sell 13 acres of beautiful land. It's not a town.
Why is that not a good deal? Just coming down on the dude, man.
Roughing him up.
Just goodbye. Wow.
I'm just saying.
All right, it's 7:23. Yeah, Angels and Airwaves setting up in the next room. We'll have live music in less than an hour on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, very excited to welcome back to the studio Ralph Garman with the return of the Video Vault. It's been too long.
Usually in the Video Vault, we take a look at masterpieces of cinema, movies that have appeared in theaters and are now available on DVD or tape, and you can watch them. But I forget what we were talking about. I think we were talking about Dick Cheney or something, and someone mentioned he was selling a house, and what if he was still living inside of it or something, and I happened to mention an offhand remark, yeah, it'd be just like Bad Ronald. And you guys had no idea what I was talking
about. Never heard
about,
of Bad Ronald.
But a lot of our listeners emailed said, oh, my God, I remember that movie.
Really?
There used to be a time, boys and girls, before the advent of, you know, Lifetime and all these other channels, that the made-for-TV movie was the domain of the big three networks. They once a week, they would do their movies of the week. And they would do a made-for-television movie. And there are some classics out there that people remember still to this day. And Bad Ronald is one of them.
This is one of those?
Bad Ronald was a thriller, a horror film. Featuring Scott Jacoby was the lead actor, who was sort of, how do I describe Scott? He was...
Bad?
Yeah, bad. but oddly popular for his time. It was very odd. Him and Robbie Benson, I think, were the only guys really working in TV movies back in those days. And he plays Ronald Wilby, who is a strange, odd young man, sort of a loner, a nerd, a weirdo, who lives with his weirdo mom, who is obviously very much in love with him.
In love with him.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And when the movie opens, it's his birthday. And his mom has been very sick. But she won't go to a doctor. She wants to wait until Ronald grows up and becomes a doctor, and then he can take care of her.
Really?
Yeah, it's all very creepy.
One day, you'll be a famous doctor. But that's 10 years away. You keep delaying any treatment. Mother, you should...
There's so many incompetents. Of course, when you're away at college, I'll be very lonely.
Yeah. Without you, Ronald.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Does she want him in the way?
Yes.
No.
It's all, you know, it's TV. It's all very sort of unspoken. It's all very subliminal, but still. So it's his birthday. She gives him, for his birthday, a box of markers. Ooh, colored markers.
A box of markers.
Yes. The most of us would scoff at that gift.
Right.
But not Ronald. He's thrilled.
Wow. Now I can illustrate my story.
I don't want you occupying all your time with those extraordinary visions of fantasy.
A Tran is not fantasy. It's real. You'll see.
Yeah. Ronald's got his own fictional kingdom called Atranta that he likes to live in.
Okay.
Yeah, it's real. You'll see.
Atranta is real.
I don't want you spending all your time with those fantastical visions of yours, Ronald. Nice dialogue, by the way. Well, Ronald decides he's going to visit his schoolmate, Laurie, who is the most popular beautiful girl in school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's his birthday, so he figures he's going to ask her out. That's going to be his gift to himself.
Okay.
Unfortunately for Ronald, he happens upon Laurie when she's having a pool party with all the cool kids at her house.
Oh.
And
he wasn't invited?
He wasn't invited. They don't think much of Ronald.
Oh. Come on in, Ronald, if you can swim on me.
Or if you can't.
Would you like to go to the movies? There's a good double feature play.
I can't. Do something else.
I can't. I'm doing something else. Well, listen, I have to tell you, it's not good news when the psychopathic weirdo loner who lives in a fantasy world gets rejected by the high school prom queen.
Publicly.
Yeah, publicly. Good things don't happen. Mm-hmm. And as Ronald's leaving the grounds already sort of furious, her little baby sister comes up to him and starts to mock him on top of it.
Oh, good.
Still trying to impress Laurie? Well, you should know she only likes football players. And besides, you're weird, Ronald.
I am not weird.
Yes, you are. And so is your mother.
I want you to say you're sorry.
Uh-oh.
I want you to say you're sorry.
Uh-oh.
Let go of me.
Say you're sorry.
Let go of me.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No. She pushed him over the edge.
She did, Lisa.
Oh.
And she got murdered for her answer.
Oh.
He kills her?
He pushes her to the ground and she smacks her head on the back of a cinder block and dies in his arms.
Bad Ronald.
So naturally, if he does the only thing you can do is he buries her in a shallow grave.
Of course.
Yeah.
You don't want that discovered.
Which the cops promptly find, and they're starting to trace it back to him, knowing that he was the last one seen in the whereabouts there.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So Ronald's creepy mom has a perfect idea. She's got a spare bathroom in her huge, creepy Victorian house.
Right.
She's just going to wall him up inside. And that way the cops will never be able to find him.
She's going to drywall it closed?
The bath, it's perfect. And no one will know. We've got some old plasterboard and some extra wallpaper upstairs.
So she puts him in and she puts the plasterboard up and wallpapers over it and makes it look like a wall.
And he's inside.
Yes.
And what about, like, food and
well, they built a little trap door in the bottom of the pantry on the other side near the kitchen where they can pass food in and out. But she plans to hide him in there until she can amass enough money that she can move and take him with him, and they're going to go on the run and start a new life somewhere.
Well, how long is that going to be?
We don't know. We've got to wait for the heat to blow over, Kevin.
Doesn't seem like a good plan.
However, there is a small hitch in the plan as the weeks go by. It's working pretty well until Mom tells Ronald this.
I also saw Dr. Harris today. He said I had to have an operation on my gallbladder immediately. So I'm going into the hospital tomorrow. I'll be gone just a week.
A week?
A month?
What?
No, a week. She's there a little longer than a week. Eternity!
Oh.
Because she dies in the hospital.
Oh, no.
And Ronald's stuck in the wall?
And Ronald's in the wall.
Oh, no.
So Ronald finds out when the real estate people are snooping around that his mom's dead. And so what he does is he tricks out the house. He digs some more passageways, and he starts drilling holes in the wall so he can see out.
And
he builds a trap door that goes under the crawl space under the house so he can get in and out. He has got this place tricked out.
I like it.
But he's staying there. And unfortunately, the Wood family comes in, and they decide they're going to buy the house.
And do they have a hot young daughter?
Well, they happen to have three.
Excellent. Oh, excellent.
But the youngest one, Babs.
Babs
is the one that Ronald seems to take a shine to. Here he is looking through the peephole at them while they're discussing whether to get the house or not.
What do you say?
Well, I'm for it. I love it.
Me too.
I think it's a crazy house.
What does that mean?
Like the houses you see in movies.
You watch too much television.
No, she's right. Babs is right. It's a crazy house.
Someone listen to Babs.
Get out! And all while Ronald's peeking through the little hole in the wall. Leave
me alone. You're as beautiful as a princess. You must be the one.
Yeah, that's not
good. Oh, no, you must be the one.
You don't want to be the one.
Not for Bad Ronald.
You don't want to be Bad Ronald's one.
When your first name is Bad, you don't want to be the one.
So they're all living in the house, and they're starting to hear weird noises and crashes, and Ronald drops a glass in his secret room, and Babs is on edge.
Athea, did you hear something break a few moments ago? It scared me to death.
I didn't hear anything.
Why am I the only one who ever hears anything?
Because you're the only one crazy enough to believe in such things. Evil spirits. Babs, come on.
Babs, come on.
Come on, Babs.
Come on, Babs.
What are you thinking?
Babs is right. And it's only a matter of time before the family goes on vacation and Babs is left alone at home at the house.
Oh, great.
That's not good.
With Bad Ronald?
Yeah,
great.
Next thing she knows, she walks into her room and who's waiting for her? BR.
Promise me you won't yell.
If my father catches you, he'll...
He won't be home till Sunday night.
How did you know?
I'm Prince Norbert, ruler of Atranta. I know everything.
I'm what? I'm Prince Norbert,
leader of Atranta.
Okay.
See, he's gone fully over into his fantasy life now.
Okay,
and
good.
She's the princess that he needs to rescue.
Okay.
Well, he locks the princess up.
This was on television? They aired this?
Yes.
He locks the princess up in his bathroom?
Actually, no, in the next-door neighbor's basement. Because he kills the next-door neighbor, too, during the course of events.
Forgot to mention that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Why doesn't he move into the next-door neighbor's house, then?
He doesn't want to leave his house. He's very attached to his house.
Okay.
And his two sisters come back, and they're freaking out because the sister is gone. They think she's been kidnapped. And so they're trying to they've called the cops. The cops say, oh, she's probably just a runaway. They don't buy their story that they think something's up in the house.
Right.
So they're worried for her safety, and they hear a noise, and they come down in the middle of the night. And they realize that there is a pinpoint of light across the room on the other wall.
Uh-oh.
And Ronald hasn't covered up one of his peepholes. And they realize the light is coming out from behind this wall where Ronald is.
Uh-oh.
So then the oldest girl starts to look through the hole until an eye meets her coming out the other way.
No!
Ronald busts through the wall.
He does not bust through the wall.
He busts through the wall at the girls.
Wow.
Then goes running out the front door.
If you're just tuning in, we're doing Ralph's Video Vault. It's a TV movie called Bad Ronald.
And the cops have been waiting outside because they want to see if the little girl comes home or not.
Oh, okay.
The cops happen to be waiting outside as Bad Ronald goes making a break for the door trying to escape.
Mother?
Mother.
Oh,
yes, he's screaming for mother.
Hey.
As they slap the cuffs on Bad Ronald.
Someone's gone bye-bye.
It's a crazy house. Bad Ronald will get you.
So he's arrested, and that's how the movie ends?
Yeah.
It's all over.
But did they find him?
Look for creepy crawl spaces in your house, and people might be living there.
Okay. Did they find Babs?
Yes. Oh. She escapes.
Thank God. I was worried about that.
By breaking her way out of the next-door neighbor's basement. Yeah.
What did the actor who played Bad Ronald go on to do, or was this the high point of his
achievement? He went to jail, Bean.
No,
for God's sake.
He did a lesser successful sequel called Worse Ronald. that really never took off. And I think his career faded away
this
after
one's
that.
Classic, Bad.
Yeah, Bad Ronald. Is the best.
And where can I find Bad Ronald?
Recommend this, but it's available only on bootleg. You can pick up a bootleg DVD on the internet.
That's
where I got it. No, I didn't get it there.
Right.
But you have to go on the internet and get a bootleg because they have not deemed it fit for major release on DVD yet, which I think is.
But if you hear any kind of noise in your house, it's Bad Ronald.
It's somebody living in your house who probably want to take you away to a fantasy kingdom.
I like it.
Well done.
Thank you.
First, though, Kevin and Bean email. You can go to the website if you can't figure out what our email addresses are because they're very difficult, very, very cryptic. Like, how do you ever even know how to write to Lisa at krock.com, for instance? You can't guess an address like that,
well,
right?
That's just Lisa at krock.com.
That's
right. Yeah. Mine's Kevin at krock, Bean at krock. Pretty simple.
Last week, Kevin and Bean, you guys had someone call in to try to diagnose Kevin's mental problems. Remember, Kevin, we had that doctor on who believed that you might have something called expressive aphasia. You have some problem with putting words together in the right order. Remember we had that doctor on?
That doesn't strike a bell.
Well, anyway, I was looking at the pictures on your website, and I think that what's really going on is that Kevin's problem is the vast distance between the neurons in his giant head. Look, if he's got the same number of brain cells as the rest of us, each thought has to travel 2, 3, 4, 5 times the distance of our thoughts that they have to travel because of how much room there is inside his head. I don't know. To me, it just seems like a much simpler explanation. Maybe you can even call it Kevin's syndrome. That is true, by the way. Yeah. That's a really good point when you think about the distance that they've got to go. I mean, it would be easy for them to lose track of what they're talking about.
It does seem like they disappear slowly. Like, I've got them, and then they're going away and going away. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the trip. I did find out that I have erectile asphyxia. I'm not sure if that's the same thing.
I don't think that. No, I've never heard of that one.
We were talking to a guy on Kevin and Bean's What I Do Nephew who said that he was going out telling girls that he was the king of Mexico, our phone screener, to try and get laid.
Yes.
We took phone calls from people saying they had acted like a celebrity. I got a couple of emails here. One is from Beatrice. My friend was convinced that she had made out with Bono at City Walk's Howl at the Moon.
She didn't know what he looked like?
I don't know if she... Apparently not. I mean, that's one of the things we were talking about. You got to pick somebody who not everyone knows what it looks like, but it obviously worked for this guy.
Wow.
Bono. He picked one of the most popular people in the world.
Yeah. How do you pull... I mean, you dye your hair and wear big, crazy sunglasses. I guess that gets you halfway there, but how do you fake the accent and the whole deal? That's pretty impressive.
Dear Kevin Bean, I'm a former Marine and in between special op missions in Afghanistan. Two of my buddies and I were in Osaka, Japan. One of my buddies had a musical singing talent and playing a guitar that he borrowed from a street performer. As he did this, local girls came up and started to ask who we were. Being highly intoxicated, I spouted out Weezer, who just happened to have performed in Osaka that night for real. Some of these girls had just come from the concert. How 3 big, lean, 6'3", bald white guys were believed to be Weezer is beyond me. But we were then taken to all the hot spots and got action everywhere we went for the next 2 days, not paying for anything because they thought we were Weezer.
How about that?
Giant Marine saying they're Weezer.
That's awesome.
That's funny. Hey, guys, this email from Beth begins. I love the show. You guys are awesome. I know you answer these emails all the time, but seriously, listen up. I'm 5'5", 115, very fit, cute, and naturally blonde. I've attached a picture because I know you guys always like those. By the way, I looked at the picture. Way good deal, all right?
Okay.
Here's her complaint. I either get one of two scenarios. Either guys won't talk to me at all, or some meathead, no offense, Mike, assumes I'm a dumb blonde and easy. When I don't succumb to the cheesy lines, they bail. Honestly, I just want to have a normal conversation, let alone a date, with a guy who doesn't want to bang me right off the bat. What gives? I haven't had a date since July. Not even the option of a date. This is BS. What the hell? Should I start dressing in baggy clothes and wearing no makeup? Should I start my cat collection now? What's your advice, Beth? She's got a problem here. And
that's baffling.
It is baffling.
It's
she's
not
very
baffling
attractive,
at all.
Obviously funny and personable.
Funny person.
She's desperate to not have somebody who wants to have sex with her. F you.
Well, the first date.
Hey, that's
Kevin.
What happens. You just play defense a little.
A guy shouldn't be able to pretend.
Standards a little high. I say we send Psycho Mike out with her. We have him test her game, figure out what's going on with her, why people won't talk to her.
All right.
Well, something going on beyond what we've heard about in this email, that's for sure. Because I want to date her, looking at the email and her picture, you know. So clearly, she's got to be sending off some sort of bad vibration
somewhere.
You know
that, Mike? Some kind of dating...
Oh, I'm totally in.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. All right. I'll evaluate All right. that, Hope.
Beth, we're coming after you.
We were calling New Zealand the other day. Boy, was it funny. We were talking about the place that had the sluttiest girls in the world. We got a hold of New Zealand. We laughed. We thought we'd die.
Yes.
Kevin, if you insist on making these ridiculous attempts at comedy, please do it after the 8 o'clock hour when I am not listening. Thanks, Chris.
How dare you. Not a lot of love, really, for the calls overseas. And finally for me, guys, I'm afraid for Psycho Mike's health. I heard on the show last week when Kevin Smith said, if you're arguing about candy bars, something is wrong. But simple discussions and disagreements are understandable. If you listen to the tape of that conversation with Mike in the 8 o'clock hour, you'll hear Psycho Mike screaming at the top of his lungs at all of you about candy bars.
Oh, yeah.
Couple that with previous outbursts on your Little Dog and Pony show, and I think a pattern is developing. Maybe it's roid rage or something. Don't misunderstand me. If Mike actually went psycho and blew away the entire morning show, I would lose the pool because I had Doc. But it would still be cool. If you're one of the 7 people that actually care about Mike, it might be time to think about some sort of an intervention. In the meantime, can you tell him to shut the F up, Don?
Tell him that on a daily basis doesn't help.
He just yells at us.
Another intervention.
You guys remember Larry King and Kid Rock?
Oh, yes.
Highlights of that at krock.com if you haven't heard it yet. Because Larry King is old, senile, and has no clue who he's talking to anymore. And that's why I was fascinated by Joe Garcia's email. He said, did you guys see Seinfeld on Larry King? That senile old bastard doesn't even know who Jerry effing Seinfeld is.
What?
We played this first thing this morning while I was still asleep. But this is Larry King interviewing Seinfeld, and he doesn't know if Seinfeld quit... or if they fired him, the TV show fired him, you know, the network or whatever. He has no clue. It was the biggest show of the 90s.
It lasted how long?
9 years. 180 episodes.
You gave it up, right?
I did. So.
They didn't cancel you. You canceled them.
You're not aware of this?
No, I'm asking you.
You think I got canceled? Are you under the impression that I got canceled?
Have I hurt you, Jerry?
Okay, this is my favorite thing because most celebrities kind of back off and try and play along. Jerry's not going to do that. He's gonna take it to Larry King and point out that he doesn't know what he's talking about.
I thought that was pretty well documented. Is this still CNN? I was the number one show on television, Larry.
You were
all... Do you know who I am?
Jewish guy, Brooklyn.
Yes.
Okay.
75 million viewers last episode.
What? Don't take it so bad.
Well, that's the big difference between being canceled and being number one.
Okay, I'm sorry. We'll be right back.
Jeez.
B-movie opens. B-movie opens.
Can we get a resume in here for me?
B-movie opens tomorrow. We'll be right back.
Larry really sounds befuddled at that point.
That's awesome. Can we get a bio in here so Larry can figure out who I am?
God.
I am fascinated with him.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning. Ralph, I'm very impressed so far. You're just ad-libbing it, man, with the writers out on strike. You're still able to get the Showbiz Beat on the air. It's very impressive.
I've got a staff of guys usually write the Showbiz report for me. And
we don't.
Now they're all at strike.
We don't have writers.
They're right in front of the building with the big placards. Say, Ralph, unfair to writers.
We don't
thought it was rude.
You do your own showbiz. We don't have any writers.
What?
Yeah.
Then I should have written something.
Yes, that would help.
This is awkward. A lot of blank pages here. Let's see if I can make something up. The writers are indeed on strike. The Writers Guild of America walked out this morning. First walkout from the guild in, almost 2 decades.
Wow.
They tried to settle things yesterday with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers in a 10-hour-long talk session between the union and the producers, but talks fell apart, and so the writers did walk out this morning. First, of course, on the East Coast, and then 3 hours later, their West Coast counterparts. Problem is, no new talks are scheduled, so both sides are bracing for a lengthy strike.
Man.
Hostility between the two sides has been growing for some time now. Apparently, the impasse is primarily over the demands for higher fees or residuals that are derived from the sales of movies, TV programs on DVDs, the internet, and other new technologies. That's where they have a parting of the ways. You'll see it first and foremost with the late-night talk shows. Those are the first shows that will be hit by the strike, and then some sitcoms may have to shut down, then the dramatic hour-long TV series, and then finally films, which are the last to get it because they've already got their scripts for the upcoming film for next year.
So. Yeah, they worked like a year or two ahead, right?
Yeah, so we'll have movies for a while. The year after that, though,
it's going to suck.
How long the strike goes
on.
Yeah,
we'll put on Bad Ronald again.
Oh, a remake of Bad Ronald.
Yeah.
You don't even need to rewrite it. Just shoot it as it is.
Yep.
So no Letterman tonight, basically, is what you're telling me.
They're going into reruns immediately.
Wow. Yeah.
According to the news. So.
Hey, Jimmy Kimmel, if you're listening, there's still a sports availability here in K-Rock.
Come back and do some sports, Jim.
Feel free.
We're a non-union shop. We'll pay a couple bucks.
Couple.
What's Jimmy's rate now? 20, 30 bucks an hour, you think?
Nah. Yeah. That much?
Yeah. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, shall we? American Gangster, number one at the box office by a long shot. $46.3 million it made this week.
That's really big for an R-rated movie, isn't it?
It's monstrous.
Yeah.
B-movie did pretty well. Made almost $40 million. Good enough to make it number two. Saw 4 was 3. Dan in Real Life was number 4. Number 5, 30 Days of Night. Martian Child was 6. The Game Plan was number 7. Then Michael Clayton, one of my favorite films of this year. Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married was number 9. And Gone Baby Gone, directorial debut of Ben Affleck. Still hanging in. Made $2.4 million this weekend. Good enough to keep it at number 10. Christina Aguilera says she's pregnant.
What?
Worst kept secret ever.
Yeah.
She's finally admitted she's expecting her first child after months of wearing maternity clothes and everyone pointing at her giant belly.
So weird.
She broke the news to an interviewer for Glamour magazine and says that she will enter into mommyhood, her words, in 2008.
I hope she does it with the class and grace that Britney Spears did.
Me too.
Remember there was a time when people were questioning which of those two were the better singer?
Mm-hmm.
And who was the better person? Christina was the slutty whore, remember?
Right.
She was the dirty, slutty trash.
Yep.
And Britney was the angelic, sweet girl that was just sugar wouldn't melt in her mouth.
Not so much.
Yeah.
How are Christina's boobs? Has anyone seen pictures lately?
I have not, but I'm assuming they are growing
gigantic.
Exponentially.
They're gigantic.
Got a little bit of that Halle Berry magic, did she?
Yeah.
Speaking of Britney, in a sidebar in the interview, Christina reveals that there are nights that she'd like to go out and party, but she feels she has too much she'd like to accomplish in life, so she chooses not to.
Huh.
That's a
I
choice?
Didn't know that was a choice, yeah.
That's just crazy talk.
What's she talking about?
You don't mad, choice, mad, I say. Another big boobed bimbo, Jessica Simpson, apparently isn't the type of girl who can be friends with a guy after the relationship is over.
That's a surprise.
Yeah. New York Daily News reports that while at a Halloween party last Wednesday, she ended up pouting on the couch because her one-time boyfriend, Adam Levine of Maroon 5, was making out with his new girlfriend at the same party. Can't you just see her as a pouter?
Oh, yeah.
You know, she looked totally. And she started bitching to her assistant who was there by her side. She sat down. She just started talking baby talk about how upset she was. Meanwhile, some other girl's giving love to Maroon 5. You know what I'm saying?
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Come on. Some girl took Kevin's advice very seriously. Good work,
that
Kevin.
That wasn't advice.
Good work, Kevin.
Why, you love Adam from Maroon 5, Kevin. I mean, come on.
Yes, you do.
Script, really, more than anything.
Ozzy Osbourne's angry. And for a change, it's not at us for making fun of Kelly.
Good.
This time, it's with the sheriff of Cass County in Fargo, North Dakota.
Why? What did they do?
Ozzy and Rob Zombie were playing there one evening last night. And so the sheriff printed up fake invitations to a party at a nightclub to celebrate the Ozzy show. Handed out the flyers to 500 wanted individuals and then had a sting operation as they showed up. They were all had warrants outstanding, and as they came through the door, the sheriffs put the cuffs on them.
These always work, too. They do this all the Super Bowl tickets. I mean, whatever they know they can get people in, people will bite.
More than 30 of the evildoers showed up and were arrested. Now, Ozzy wants an apology from the sheriff for using his name and reputation in a sting operation without his permission.
Is that a law?
I don't know if it is.
Interesting.
The sheriff says putting Ozzy's name on the invite is no different than promoting a Super Bowl party like being mentioned and listing the names of the two competing teams.
I guess.
They didn't say come and meet Ozzy. They said it's an Ozzy Osbourne party.
I can see how he'd be upset, though. I mean, if it were his fans that showed up and Chris Hansen met him at the door or whatever, that'd make me kind of angry.
If they got warrants, they got warrants.
I guess,
I don't care what kind of music they like.
I guess.
Welcome to my nightmare.
It's more important than one guilty man goes to jail.
How dare you.
100 innocent Ozzy Osbourne fans go to a concert. How are you sleeping tonight, Sheriff Rainey?
How's that town? You only have a bar, stupid house.
Come just on. Bartend. Just bartend then.
If you're bartending, give away beer.
Really, you've gotten tough on people, Kevin, lately.
Come on now,
Kevin's tough on crime.
I sell it a town that's not a town. What do you want from me?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Bryan Adams, Canadian singer, is 48 years old today. Ryan Adams, not Canadian singer, 33 years old today. That's how I keep them straight.
Okay.
Not Canadian and Canadian.
Bryan, Canadian. Ryan, not Canadian.
Who's the more talented of those two, in your estimation?
Come on! What kind of question is that?
Ryan, I'm just saying, a lot of every people, day of the week.
I agree. I'm a huge Bryan Adams fan, but I'm saying millions of people have bought millions of Bryan Adams records throughout the years. He has quite a fan base. I just wondered what you guys thought.
All of those people regret it.
Summer of 69. Come on. Yeah, let's rock
that's still
out.
That's still a good song. That's, had nothing against that song.
That's when he put out a couple of good songs. And then he started doing the Disney songs and just drove his career right into the ground.
Yeah. You're in love with a woman?
Oh, yeah. Have you ever really loved a woman?
Have you ever really
despise that song.
Well, you're lucky you don't watch American Idol because 40% of the people who audition for that show sing that song. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And it's one for all for one.
Yeah, that was a terrible song.
Oh, it's great. Three Musketeers.
Terrible song. From Robin Hood, terrible song.
Not like him in any way.
Tilda Swinton. She is in... Michael Clayton can currently be seen, or Michael Crawford, if you're going to movies with Lisa.
I keep thinking Michael Crawford.
I know you do. She's 47 years old today, and Judy Reyes from Scrubs is 40 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Wish we could continue that conversation on the air.
Me too. I want to hear about the rest of that guy's day. Wow. It's Monday morning on the Kevin Abede Show, the world-famous K-Rock. We were just doing a little old radio show minutes ago, and now all of a sudden a keg party has broken out in the studio. Ladies and gentlemen, Angels and Airwaves are here with us at K-Rock. They're back with a brand new album available for sale and download, all of us. It's called I Empire, comes out tomorrow. Good morning, boys. How are you?
Good morning. We actually just got back from the town of Albert.
Is that right?
It's
Did
great.
You play there?
We drank and we danced.
What does that mean?
We didn't pay for
we
our got hammered.
We were talking to a guy about an hour ago who was trying to sell a town that's not really a town. It has a house and a bar, I guess.
Who's the Prince of Albert?
Yes.
Great question, Tom.
You've been holding on to that since you heard
that was good.
It.
I hold
like, you see, like, him rushing into the studio with his coffee. Yeah. His coffee and a smile. And he's like, I know what I'm going to say right when I get on air.
Okay, hold on.
Do you guys hear
that?
Who's got
the iPhone?
Sounds like a balloon.
That's somebody's phone.
My iPhone's in my car.
Who's got the phone?
Mine's off. It's not even me.
It sounds like a balloon.
Where's that coming from?
You know what?
It messes with
We're
the microphones.
We're out of here.
It's weird. Matt wheezes.
Is that what it is? It's coming from his
That's
lungs?
My tube. Sorry.
He's got asthma.
Wow, yeah. That sucks.
Way to make
Kevin,
it awkward.
Kevin, what hot chick was it that was in last week that we had to almost throw out because her phone was screwing up with the microphone?
Mel Carter.
It was
porn star.
Tara Patrick.
Tara Patrick.
Not Lexington Steel.
I've never heard of her.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I don't know why, but cell phones F with everything we have here, so sorry about that.
You know what? At least it actually does here on the plane. I think they just make it up.
They
you know
do, yeah.
They
true.
Tell you can't use it. And
yeah.
Because well, it doesn't work either, though. So
it can kind of
There's
work.
So much I want to talk about.
Okay.
I've been listening to you guys for an hour in traffic, you know. I want to talk about Knight Rider.
About Ronald.
Bad Ronald. Yeah.
And Michael Jackson. We're supposed to talk about Michael Jackson. Bring in Michael Jackson.
Do you know that
back?
Michael Jackson, when he gets nervous, he chews on his own nose. He takes it off and chews on it.
What is it Michael Jackson can't get wet
It's a bad nervous habit.
But are you guys doing stand-up now?
We
is
are.
That, is that the routine. Deal?
You know what? My
you
buddy,
open for yourselves.
My buddy
doing
told me. My buddy in the car goes, you know what? You got to hurry up and race in there with your coffee and try and be more funny and charming than they are. That's what he said.
It's not that hard, really, to be honest. So the new CD is coming out. This is part two of the original idea, right?
Yes. When we started the band, we made this little promise to ourselves that we were going to try and do something different. It's very easy to do the same. Dress in black. Don't smile in the photos.
Right.
You know?
We did do that, though.
You did that, right?
We did that.
We still do that part.
Yeah. And, cool and mysterious is our gig.
We made a record called We Don't Need to Whisper.
Mm-hmm.
We toured it just for a few months, and we went back in the studio, and we very much knew that it was the first half of a whole story. We did an experiment where we wanted this two-album set, including I Empire that comes out tomorrow, mm-hmm. to really be this autobiographical journey, you know? And we have two things going on to help communicate the whole deal. We just made a documentary. We submitted it to Sundance, so we're hoping that's going to go forward as well. We also have a motion picture we're making. If you go to the website, angelandairways.com, you can watch a big trailer of the movie for I Empire.
Mm-hmm.
And we just released a beta version of this technology thing that we're working on where we're breaking down to make it more seamless in interaction between the bands and their fans. And so we're up all night long talking to our fans and broadcasting and doing all this stuff. So we have a lot going on to mm-hmm. turn Angels into more of like an artistic media thing.
Now let's talk about the website because that seems to be the direction that a lot of bands are going with Radiohead doing the thing where they gave it away for whatever you want to pay. And you guys have been working on this for a while.
Yeah, we have. I have a company I started 7 years ago as a hobby, and it very quickly grew into like a real business, and I have some really powerful partners that came in and really liked
the mob.
They're just weight builders.
Oh, I see. They're strong. Okay. Strong.
Weight watchers.
weight builders.
They're on Weight Watchers.
Okay.
All right. They came on board to the company because they believed in this IT idea that I architected. I'm not really a technology guy, but being in the business world and being an artist, I knew what bands needed. And music is bigger now than it's ever been. It's just in kind of a little state of flux. Radiohead and all these great bands are giving away their record for free, and I think that's great, you know. But there's still no solution for artists. And I really truly believe that I found one, and it's based on an operating system that we're working on that's internet-based. That will give all these different pieces of software that work in conjunction with each other, like a movable Windows drop and drag thing, that allows you to monetize your own life, whether it be with media or if you're a poet or whatever. But it will help bands to have a complete seamless live broadcasting quality from their art to their fan base, as well as do movies in HD and 24-hour broadcast.
You know, I like you and all. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have any idea.
But everything's going to end up over time. It's just a lot of information. I just
a lot
write
of, well,
more,
you asked
especially
me.
At 8 o'clock well, know, in the morning.
Let's go.
Is this, Tom, is this the pot talking, Tom? Is that what's going on here?
You know what's funny?
Tom's high.
The funny
coffee
thing
pot.
Is...
He's been smoking weed all morning.
I have not stopped smoking weed for 25 years straight. No, I
you started when you were two.
I started... I'm not... What.
My okay. math is
I can't
terrible.
Even do the math. I'm 27.
But Tom, let me ask another way, and maybe one of the other guys can jump in. What do you mean when
wow,
you say
God forbid one of else would.
No, oh, what do you so mean funny. When you say the artists can monetize their lives? I mean, beyond selling merchandise or maybe you know access to a site or videos or records or something like that, how, what do you mean by monetize? How else are you talking about making money or making a connection through the internet?
Well, there's selling multiple ways to create a revenue stream good. Through an artist, and a lot of it has to do with you know the interaction between the people that are curious about the artists themselves. But if you give an artist a way to communicate themselves, whether through live broadcasts and a way to, if you do blogs, podcasts, video casts, and you can do a lot of different things where you live auctions. But if you tie everything, just imagine taking everything that's on the internet and combining it into one place that's extremely cohesive, and then has you can apply a monetization kind of schedule to it, whether it's a subscription package or people can buy per item. But if the whole thing works together in unison, then you can pretty much make up whatever you want to do and become your own little economy. And that's really what it's all about. And then eventually the music can be free. Then the idea is you give away all your music for free and they like if 5% come back and take part in all the other different forms of media you're doing, you can make more money than you've ever made before, you know?
Like, could I go on angelsandnetworks.com and buy a pint of your blood or something? Is that what you're talking about?
We no, might be selling cool. that.
Semen.
It could be. We don't have much, so it's very expensive. We're
how much for just
right
the
now.
Tip?
Well, we give you the tip for free, then you come back for more.
Yeah. Oh,
I see.
It's a gateway drug.
I gotcha.
This is so cute.
This is ugly.
It's early. We should not be talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this then. Do any of these newfound crazy pot-induced ideas reflect themselves in the lyrics of the new record? Is this kind of all tied in with what you're talking about on iEmpire too?
Well, not the record itself is really about the personification of a spiritual idea that started on the last record. So it's pretty, it's got these deep meanings, and we have a lot of method to this madness of how we approach trying to do something way more artistic than we probably are as human beings. But I'm not singing about operating systems. But what I am singing about is there's a lot of complex like human emotions we sing about, like obsession and love and fear and things that a lot of bands sing about. But the difference is on this record, it was in conjunction with you know an autobiographical two album thing that we just did. So it's very, very true. It's conceptual in the sense that there's a storyline, but the storyline is we would record a song, and lyrically I would write about what I was going through that at that exact moment over this past two year period after the breakup of my last band to try and just see myself different and change the world that I see, you know, and or the way I see it, I guess, is the way it is really meant to.
Let me ask, this is Angels and Airwaves in the studio, the world famous K-Rock. New CD is called iEmpire, available for purchase or download tomorrow. Let me ask Matt, since you're relatively new to the band, a few months in now, is it Is it what you expected when you joined as the bassist of Angels and Airwaves?
Well, I expected that they'd spell my last name right, but apparently that was asking too much.
No. First, see, this first pressing of the CD is now a collector's.
Oh, good.
It's now a collector's item. No, it's, you know, I call it the match made in heaven. You know,
I think, fit.
You've never said that before, have you?
And if I could speak for the rest of the band, yes. You know, I think I'm a perfect fit.
It really did.
It just made sense at the time. And
but how long after you joined did you get the balls to say to Tom, "I have no idea what you're saying to me right now"?
6 months after the 6 months trial period, after that was up, then I could say whatever I wanted.
Okay, good.
I just kissed their ass for like the first 6 months, and then I just say whatever I want.
Then it turned a complete lust and got weird.
Wow, that is odd. All right, well, you guys are going to play live, right?
Well, we're thinking about it. We're not sure. Okay, we will.
Excellent. That was some good thinking. All right, we'll take a quick break. Angels and Airwaves is here. Again, the CD is I, Empire, and it is available tomorrow everywhere.
It's available. It's been available for a few days on our website. So if you want to go download it there, you can. But for the world, for the people who can't type in or spell our name, they can go to the stores.
Or my last name.
Yeah, you need one. All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with live music. Angels and Airwaves here, ready to perform live. Adam, what is that you're playing over there? You have some kind of a square box.
Ask yourselves the same thing.
Yeah, it's a.
What is that?
It's an ethnic drum imported from Hollywood.
Ethnic. Imported from Hollywood.
Imported from ethnic.
Okay, good. What's the first song you guys are going to be doing?
We are going to do a little number called Everything's Magic. It is just a fantastic little song that Angels and Airwaves was fortunate enough to write a while ago.
And have high school girls kissing in the video.
You know what? You know what's funny?
That's
is
good.
The director wanted to have men kissing as well. And I'm being dead serious. And we were like, not that we're against that. We'll try anything 3 or 4 times, but but we're like, I think people might focus on that. And then he comes back like twice. He says, but I really think it shows love all the way around the world. I'm like, yeah.
One of the dudes walking off the holding hands.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah. So it ended up with guys holding hands, and still I think that got edited out. Hey, we love West Hollywood. We love everything.
But you didn't want that as part of this particular video.
Well, Everything's Magic wasn't about homosexuality. It was about – well, it wasn't about UFOs either, which was in the video.
It's about high school girls kissing.
It's about high school girls.
Live music, Angel and Airways on K-Rock.
Here are right, and do you ever feel the time slip by? And I can see that I have, and I can see that I have. So hear this, please. Watch as your heart speeds up endlessly. Look for the stars as the sun goes down. Each breath that you take has a thunderous sound. Tell yourself, don't try, don't try to let yourself down. Don't try to let yourself down. And do you ever see yourself in love? And will you ever take a chance, my love? Because you know that I will. Because you know that I will. So hear this, please. Watch as you. Up endlessly, look for the stars as the sun goes down. Each breath that you take has a thunderous sound. Everything, everything's magic. Just sit back and hold on it all on tight. and your heart speeds up endlessly. Look for the star as the sun goes down. Each breath that you take has a thunderous sound. Everything, everything's magic. Sit back and on my heart side. Prepare for the best and the fastest ride. Reach out your
How about that?
That sounded great.
That sounded fantastic. Angels and Airwaves. Everything is magic. Do we have time to fit in a phone call here?
Yeah, we do. Let's go to Tom on the line from San Diego. Hey, Tom, you're on with Angels and Airwaves. Go ahead.
This guy's an imposter. I'm the real Tom DeLonge.
Is that my dad?
I like MS-DOS and operating systems with angel dust.
Okay.
Magic and fairies from above.
We're looking at Tom DeLonge. This is actually the real guy. We know this dude. This is really the guy in Angels and Airwaves. I don't know who you are, sir.
Imposter, I'm the real one.
This is so cute.
From high above.
All right, Mike. Okay. Thank you very much, Psycho Mike. That's
thank you, Mike.
Appreciate right. that. Hey, by the way, Tom, when you're not on the show, Psycho Mike plays you. So it's
well,
handy that you guys
know, as long as I've been playing music, people, including my very close friends
that are in my band,
whenever they want to pretend like they're me, they always go, oh, yes. Oh. They always be like, well, is that what I sound like? Wow.
It really is. I know what I want to ask you before we hear another number from Angels and Airwaves. Tom, you and I have something in common. We've talked about this before. We're both very much space enthusiasts, and
that's
I know
right.
you went down for the space shuttle launch recently.
And I was there. I was not to cut you off, but I was right underneath the space shuttle getting this private tour. I'm like
Sweet.
Reaching out and touching it, and
cool.
all of a sudden my wife's calling me hysterically because San Diego's burning to the ground. So I had to leave. Wasn't that rad?
Oh, so you were like, I'm doing something.
I get back, and I'm so mad that our house didn't burn down. You know, I came back for nothing.
You came back for nothing.
Yeah.
I'm sure your wife feels that sentiment as well.
I was on a vacation this summer, Tom, and went to Kansas, and I went to the Cosmosphere. Have you been there? Have you
no,
been to
that
huge?
That?
Oh, it's an unbelievable space museum that they have. I mean, the Apollo 13 capsule is there. They just have so much cool stuff. You would totally,
but
totally
it's
love
in Kansas.
Now
that's,
a reason to tour there.
That's the problem.
You
got to
go. I'm telling you, it's awesome. The reason I bring it up though is because I understand you had a very special treat in the album artwork for the new I Empire that comes out tomorrow.
Is there? Oh, no. Is it Drew Struzan, the painting? The guy that did the cover, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, the cover
yeah,
art.
Yeah, the guy that did the cover art is a guy named Drew Struzan, who is the famous painter that painted all the famous movie posters for Star Wars and Indiana Jones and Blade Runner and all that stuff. And
it looks cool.
It makes
it's
it.
It's very cool.
We didn't do it for that. We did it because we wanted the most expensive album cover in U.S. history.
Good.
Well, you got your priorities straight. It's called I Empire, available everywhere tomorrow. We just heard Everything's Magic. You're going to do another number for us here today. What do you got?
well, I think we're going to play this song called The Adventure. Are we going to do that right now? Do I have to,
are
like, stretch my
to?
Fingers out? I think so.
All right.
I just got the first part of that last song. If you saw me, I had to throw the headphones off my head. It's getting all crazy and
yeah,
weird.
You were fighting with it.
Okay, are we going to do it? Should we do it now?
If you're ready, yeah. If not, we can take a break.
I think we're ready.
All right.
I wanna have the same last dream again. Whenever I wake up and I'm alive, and just as the four walls close me within, my eyes are open up, pure sunlight. I'm the first to know my dearest friends. Even if your hope has burned with time, anything that's dead shall be regrown, and your vicious pain warning sign will be fine. Every single tree reach for the sky. If you're gonna fall, I'll let you know that I will pick you up like you for I felt this thing I can't replace, where everyone was working for this goal, and all the children left without a trace, only to come back as pure as gold to recite the song. Yayo, here I am. There we go, life's
just waiting to begin. Tonight, yeah, oh, here I am. Here we go, life's waiting to begin. Tonight, yeah, oh, here I am. Here we go.
Angels and Airwaves live. Nice. That sounds pretty good for 8:30 in the morning. I got to be honest, you guys.
Yeah. It's Coke.
I got to tell you, your video, is that your video camera guy?
You know what? I just got that yesterday, yeah. And it's a hard drive. It records everything without a camera. Cool.
Is it high def?
I think.
No, this is the one.
Oh, that's different.
Never mind. You're using the wrong camera, moron.
What? He was. Well,
I just bought that.
I bring it up because he was videotaping the clock. And I think just to get some kind of a reference to it's really 8:30 in the morning and the guys are really playing.
I know it's
bad. I know it's hard for.
I went to Starbucks and they have to wake up at 4:30. They have to be there at 4:30 in the morning at Starbucks, but they're surrounded by coffee. But coffee stops working after a while. You know that probably more
sure,
than I.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
I could listen to you all day, Tom.
I got more. I'm creating a new coffee, too, with my company. And
I'm not surprised at all.
You know, it's just something we do.
Angels and Airwaves, iEmpire, available tomorrow. Always great to catch up with the band. Thank you guys for coming in on K-Rock this morning.
And thank you guys for having us. You guys have always been, I say it every time, incredibly generous to me for my entire career. And I'm so thankful that we are considered the premier band of your show. And I'm thankful.
Well,
that's
like crazy.
Did we make that announcement?
Well, I don't know. I thought so.
Not aware.
Work with me. Not
okay, then
me.
Yeah, that's it. House band, we like to call it.
House band, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
All right.
Bye now. Tom DeLonge was just telling me in the other room that he wrote that song for Foo Fighters.
Is that
he
right?
Wrote that. And then he invented the internet and orange juice. So the guy really has contributed.
He's done a lot.
It's
yeah.
By
impressive.
The way, Matt was just telling me that while he was getting a tattoo on the top of his foot, that he passed out and peed himself. So. That's
fantastic.
I said, dude, you need to be careful who you tell that story to.
That's
something
that's a
you
good
want to
story.
Say
every day. It's 8:48 on the Kevin and Bean Show. I know Sean Connery's on the phone, so I'll try to be as delicate as I can. But big, big news in the world of James Bond. In fact, let's just tell you the same time we tell Sean. Good morning, Mr. Connery.
Hello, you douchebags. How are you?
We're good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
I just f***ed a old.
What? Okay, that's... That's not even legal, Sean.
Oh, that's right. Never mind. She was 20.
Well, listen, the reason we wanted to get you on the line is because every time there's James Bond news, we think about you because you're the original James Bond in the movies. And we wanted to know if you heard the latest about your successor, Daniel Craig.
No, what's up with that
Well, you have to watch your language, Sean.
Yeah, that's a good point, Kevin. You do have to watch your language because we are on the radio. You know he starred in Casino Royale, which was the most successful of all of the James Bond movies worldwide at the box office. You know that, right, Sean?
No, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now they've signed him up to star in the next 4 James Bond movies, and they're paying him $60 million, Sean.
How much is what?
$60 million.
You've got to be f***ing kidding me.
Is that what you made, roughly?
Roughly, I got in the roughly. I can't believe that.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
That's bullshit.
these movies make a tremendous amount of money worldwide. I mean, one of these movies can make a couple of $100 million, so it's probably a pretty good paycheck for him.
He's going to be a very rich man, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Yes. Yeah.
Imagine all the strange he's going to get now. That
Well, I don't think there's any evidence
he's
to suggest
to have of all sizes and shapes up his.
Is he gay? I didn't think he was gay.
I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. All right.
I have no idea whether he is or not.
Okay.
I'm just a bitter old.
Yeah.
Well, that is true. You know, a lot of the ladies really love him, Daniel Craig. They think he's young and buff.
Ladies really like him, young and buff. Why don't you my eye?
Okay, so he's getting.
I've got a big load of haggis for you. Why don't you open your.
Oh, stop it, Sean. For God's sake.
That was me making the noise with my mouth.
Really?
Well, that's what it would have sounded like.
I see. Okay.
Yes.
Now, what was your biggest payday, Sean? You mind telling us for James Bond?
Yeah, I got paid $1 million for Diamonds Are Forever.
A million?
Okay, but that was pretty good money back then, though, right, Sean?
Yeah, at the time, it was the most paid ever an actor.
Okay.
And now I'm just
Yeah, well, he is getting $20
million. I'm an old, wrinkled
Yeah, aww. That's sad.
He's not making $20 million.
No, you're not. You're not making any because you don't want to act, right?
Maybe if I come back as James Bond, they'll pay me that.
Well, I think they've already got somebody to do the job. I don't think that's open anymore.
But I'm the original.
Right, but they made a deal with this guy.
I'll even show my big wrinkled scrotum.
Well, no one wants to see that.
It's very impressive.
Well, how's that going to help?
They're huge
God.
How does that help anyone?
I put the OO back in 007 with these giant
All right, John, listen.
Put a 7 next to my sack.
Okay.
It looks like 007.
All right. We have to go. I'm sorry, Sean, that you're not happy with this.
If I take my and bend it into a 7, it looks like 007.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
I think we get that. Thank you, Sean.
Eric, QFM passing to Los Angeles. In fact, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
You know, I didn't think about it, but I was reading an article about this writer's strike with Tina Fey.
Right.
And, actually, she wasn't giving the interview. Her scar was. But the scar said that she's putting her pen down and not writing anything for her show as long as the strike goes on. She is a writer in her own right, a member of the Guild.
Yeah. She's in the Guild, yeah.
And she said, this is going to affect sitcoms more than anyone realizes. And it didn't dawn on me until I read it because it's been a while since I've done a sitcom. But they tend to rewrite right up until the night that they film those things.
Right.
So even if you have a script for, let's say, the Kelsey Grammer show over on Fox, they need to rewrite those shows as they work them in front
That's
of a live
a
audience
point.
Right up until they shoot those.
So even if you have the script, it can't be touched
now. It can't be rewritten in any way. So.
Wow.
And we were also wondering if Tyra Banks would have been affected by the writer's strike.
Oh, God, no.
But then someone emailed me and reminded me that Tyra had, it was a big story a few months ago, how she refused to let the writers on her show join the Guild, remember?
That's right.
They wanted to join the Guild so they could get some benefits and some health insurance and that kind of stuff, and she would not let them join the Guild, so they're all non-union writers over on her show to save her money.
So she actually saved their jobs. Now they can work, and other writers cannot.
That's true.
I have one thing to say to you. Kiss my fat ass.
They can continue to do such quality work as Tyra Banks' tour of the vagina, which will be on today.
We won't have highlights of that on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show. One whole hour on the hoo-ha.
And by highlights, you mean?
Lowlights.
Yeah, that's exactly
right.
That's
going to be horrible.
So the strike is going on. It happened this morning. The Writers Guild of America walked out for the first time in almost two decades after talks with producers collapsed over the weekend. The first place it'll take the hit is the late-night talk shows. Leno, Letterman, Jimmy. They rely on a stream of topical jokes, and those writers will not be working. Then probably the sitcoms, as we mentioned. Then probably the hour-long dramas. They've stockpiled a bunch of scripts they can still shoot, but once those are gone, they're out. And then feature films will be the last ones to feel it. But
you know, Kevin stayed home today in solidarity for the writers, and we had to call and tell him he wasn't in the Guild.
I thought that was very noble of him.
He still had to come in.
To try to,
not going
to
be scab, man.
Fight the power.
That's right.
But then we reminded him he doesn't really write anything. He just talks.
I had to come in. Yeah. What a waste.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies of the box office, shall we? American Gangster, right. Number one, by a large margin, $46.3 million. In its debut. Pretty strong numbers for American Gangster.
Huge.
All of us were dying to see it this weekend.
Dying.
None of us went.
None of us.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's how lame we are.
Busy weekend.
That Russell Crowe, that Denzel Washington, those guys do pretty good work.
They know their stuff.
Yeah.
B Movie did pretty well. In its debut, $39 million, made it number two at the box office. The rest of your top 10 shakes out thusly. Saw 4, Dan, in real life, 30 Days of Night, Martian Child, Game Plan, Michael Clayton, Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married, Gone Baby Gone. Top 10 movies at the box office this week. And Britney Spears, you see the new photos of her in her Halloween costume?
No.
What is it?
Just
what is
she? A white trash whore. It's nothing. We don't know what she is. It's got like this open front on this like bodysuit that she's wearing.
Right.
So you can see her Funyun pudge.
Okay. Yeah.
And she's wearing fishnets and a mask and like a sombrero. I don't know. It makes no sense whatsoever.
What the hell?
It's kind of like an animal that somebody made in a lab.
Yeah.
It's like a part of this animal matched with a part of that animal.
Anyway, according to the New York Daily News, she spent her evening at the Heidi Klum party.
Ooh. Oh, hey now.
Apparently, people who were there say she cornered the supermodel hostess at the party and asked that her two little boys could have a play date with Heidi's three kids. Word is, Heidi just smiled and nodded, then slowly walked away while she was talking. I love it. When a supermodel thinks you're too stupid to talk to, you're stupid.
Yeah, wow.
You know what? As strong as the heroes on Heroes are, with all their superpowers,
right?
They still can't get their wives to shut the F up.
Who talking now? About?
Apparently Adrian Pazdar, who plays Nathan Petrelli on that show.
Right.
He's the one that can fly.
Mm-hmm.
He's having trouble with his Dixie chick wife, Natalie Maines.
Well, she's always been mouthy.
Can you imagine her just all day long? Apparently, Natalie's busy working on her new album. Adrian's filming the show Heroes, of course, and they're very busy. So they're having a hard time getting together to see each other. And when they do, Adrian thinks Natalie's just in a nasty mood. Because when they finally do get a chance together, she's just bitching and moaning about everything.
Right.
See? All the superpowers in the world can't save you from that, man.
Hmm. He can just fly away from her, though, right?
That's what he should do. That's what I think. So what do I know? And Jennifer Garner's on Broadway.
Jennifer Garner?
Yes, she just opened up in a revival of Cyrano de Bergerac with Kevin Kline in the title role. And the reviews are in, and apparently she is quite good.
Hmm.
The New York Times said her comic timing is impeccable. New York Daily News says she brings natural beauty to Roxanne, the role she plays, but claims she may be miscast. But overall, her reviews are pretty good.
Excellent.
So I'm going to be in New York over the holidays. If it's still playing, I'd like to go see her on stage.
She is talented.
And then stalk her backstage by the stage door.
Really?
Oh, that's your
that
whole plan?
Yeah, you did.
Oh,
yeah.
You don't say that, no.
No.
Hey, TNG, list your emails and you will know. What about the news? What about local TV news? Is that the Writers Guild as well, putting that up on the teleprompter or no?
Oh, God, I hope so.
I don't know, Bean.
I hope they ad-lib everything.
Be
awesome.
Be great?
I think reporting is different than writing. I'm pretty sure.
Because it's real life rather than fictional, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. Could you just see Paul Moyer up there going, and I guess there was a fire or something. I don't know. I think there were some people like ran and something burned down.
I'm being told.
Big flames. Boom. Bang. Bang. Zippy, zippy, zoo. Just starts making up those words that he uses.
That would be awesome.
That would be the best. And the provocative pictures of Vanessa Hudgens that made the rounds on the internet a few months back apparently did not damage her credibility with Disney. Us Weekly magazine says she has just signed on for a third installment of High School Musical. She is locked in and reportedly got quite the substantial raise for herself. So,
fantastic.
Congratulations to old Scruffy Pants, as I like to call her.
Well, do you...
old 5 o'clock shadow.
Do you agree with the 4 or 5 bells that were given to her by Bean?
I do not, sir. But I've learned to press on. Press on, black man. That's what I say. And this is bad news. It's another movie remake. I'm not a big fan of the remakes. Daily Variety has announced that the classic Charles Bronson movie Death Wish is being remade. Familiar with Death Wish?
I think I ever saw that.
Death Wish was a movie that really put Charles Bronson on the map. He was a big action star in the 70s and 80s. He plays a father whose wife and daughter are raped.
Okay.
And he becomes a vigilante. He starts stalking the streets of New York with
killing people?
Handgun killing muggers and robbers and that kind of stuff. Takes the law into his own hands.
That sounds
good. Much like this Jodie Foster movie that was just out recently. Well, they're going to remake it. Sylvester Stallone.
No! Come on.
Yes!
To write,
are you kidding?
Star, and direct the remake of Death Wish.
Yes.
That's going to be great.
Yes, it is.
That's going to be spectacular. So there you go. There you go. Isn't he in the Writers Guild? Can he not write this?
That's a good
He's
point.
He's got to be in the guild.
Maybe
right?
He has to wait.
Let's just wait. Let's just hold off and wait. Speaking of reality television, I want to give a mention one more time. If you would like to date a bisexual woman and you are a lesbian or a straight guy, how about A Shot at Love 2? sequel. With Tila Tequila will not be on board this time around. It'll be a more attractive bisexual.
Are they promising that?
I don't know. They couldn't get uglier.
Yeah.
If you'd like to be on that show, if you're watching over there on MTV like I am, I'm fascinated by that show. It is shot at lovecasting.com. There you can find the application and maybe you can find yourself true love while being on an MTV game show, because that's how you find it.
That's where you look for it, mainly.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Bryan Adams, the Canadian singer-songwriter, is 48 years old today. Ryan Adams, singer-guitarist, is 33 years old today. What are the odds?
That's crazy.
That's nuts. Tatum O'Neill is 44 years old today, the actress. Shmaidam O'Neill is 28 years old today.
Who's that? What are they? Wow. I don't know a Shmaidam O'Neill.
He's my butcher.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Sneaky butcher?
Yeah. Right. And actress Tilda Swinton from...
Tilda does good work.
She does, actually. You see Michael
She's
Clayton?
Awesome.
The new George Clooney movie?
Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
She's amazing in that. She was also in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. She was an adaptation.
She's great in everything.
Yeah. She is 47 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This update, by the way, if you weren't with us early this morning, Lightning is contagious. We sent him home. He does have the pink eye. So if anyone met Lightning in any of his motocross events over the weekend and shook his hand, he might want to head right to the doctor for some antibiotics because apparently he has the pink eye. So he's gone.
Bean has started writing his blog again. And that's bad.
I took a year off, dude. Yeah. And The people missed it. The kids demanded that I return to blogging.
Who demanded that? I'm sorry?
The kids. I got a lot of response, a lot of emails from people who said, miss your blog, wish you'd bring it back, and I did, finally, after a year.
So Bean's the guy who owns a lot of websites and does nothing with them. He has like 30 last count. I don't know. Maybe he has a lot more now, but he had 30 last time I counted. Does something with one of them, which is trying to get a stamp for the guy who discovered what used to be formerly called Pluto the Planet. And now he's doing something with stronglywordedletter.com. Now you say yourself, hey, Kevin Bean, stronglywordedletter.com might be a good site if you were to, you know, write complaint letters or, you know, there are books out there like that, too, where they print letters that people wrote. They were really upset and they fired off a letter and they're funny, like a collection of all that kind of stuff. Right. That's what you would expect from stronglywordedletter.com.
And by the way, I use that expression often because I am a guy who will not hesitate to sit down and fire off a strongly worded letter about a business or service or complaint that I have. I mean, I believe very much in the power of the pen.
Right. So you would think that's what Bean put on that site. And yet out of 59 pages of blogging, there's one strongly worded letter on there that Bean wrote to a newspaper in his town. That's it. Everything else is just minutia, pictures of his goddamn cows.
Well, strongly worded letter is really more of an umbrella title. I certainly never advertised that every day was going to be a strongly worded letter. I think they will come up from time to time. But in general, it's just whatever I happen to be interested in at the time.
But those aren't strongly worded letters, Bean.
Right.
So, so that's not an umbrella for that. And the umbrella for that stronglywordedletter.com is for strongly worded letters. That's the umbrella for that. Right?
That's just what you'd expect.
So then a K-Rock listener sent me a thing saying that if you type in stronglywordedletter.com, it forwards you to ClydeTumba.com / stronglywordedletter, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, here's the one complaint letter that's on Bean's site, stronglywordedletter.com. Daylight saving time returns Sunday at 2 a.m. Those words were on the front page of the Island newspaper this week, prompting me to write them a strongly worded letter, and here it is. Dear editor, it has turned into a twice-a-year event for me. Sending a letter the beachcomber to correct whatever mention of the time change is on the front page of the paper. And you have to understand, this is one of Bean's pet peeves. He can't stand daylight savings time because there's no S on savings. I know, to you and me, it sounds ridiculous. Yeah. But to him, his world spins out. Like Charlie Brown approaching the football every April and October, I'm so hopeful that your copy editor will finally have gotten it straight this week, and I find myself flat on my back again. Sunday, November 4th, was this year's first day of return to standard time. It's not the start of daylight saving time, as you informed readers. So Bean's complaint here is that they're not calling it return to standard time, but they're saying it's the start of daylight saving time.
Right, which is just patently wrong. You think a newspaper would take 30 seconds to source that before they put it in the paper to give people wrong information. And that's the newspaper's job, is to present facts.
Right. But I also think if somebody reads that in a newspaper, and even if they notice it, they would go, that's not worth my time to complain about. Daylight saving time, in parentheses, not savings, as it appears in this week's Windmere ad, begins in the spring and ends in the fall. Standard time begins in the fall and ends in the spring. Every year. Sincerely. Bean. That's the one complaint letter that he has on
the site. How hard is that to get straight, though? And how do they screw it up every single year? Why can't they get it straight?
I agree with all of those thoughts, and yet how could you possibly care?
I don't know. Something about picking up a newspaper and wanting the facts to be accurate that you find on the pages? I think that's reasonable as a reader.
Bean's blog, no one gives a fuck.
I think as a reader, I have a right to expect that.
Sure you do, Bean.
Don't you? I mean, if you pick up the LA Times and it said American Gangster comes out December 15th, you're
right.
Pissed because
no.
That's information that you would like to be accurate so that you know when American
nope.
Gangster comes out.
I'm not pissed. I just check someplace else, realize they were wrong, and move on with my day with, I don't know, important stuff. I don't sit down and write a letter to the newspaper. First of all, I don't read newspapers. But second of all, if I could read, I wouldn't write them a complaint letter about stuff.
I think maybe truth is worth standing up for. I think maybe there's room in the world for accuracy.
I'm not disagreeing that you're probably right, although I don't know and could care less. I'm just saying, at what point is there no line below which you will care? Like truth, for example, people are upset that we got into Iraq, right? That's truth. They were playing fast and loose with the truth. It has nothing to do with the newspaper getting daylight savings time wrong, for God's sakes.
Saving.
Bean's blog, no one gives a fuck.
So on Strongly Worded Letter, then he goes on, there's a picture of Buttercup, his cow, on Halloween. There's how about some pumpkin facts for the holiday today?
Oh. Thousands of hits at the blog so far, right?
From Better Homes and Garden Magazine, he quotes.
Wow. People are responding.
You quoted from Better Home and Garden Magazine.
Tough guy.
Talks about the Guinness Book of World Record, biggest pumpkin. On December 14, 2000, Steve Clark of Haverton, Pennsylvania, became the fastest pumpkin carver. Goes on and on.
Type of stuff people are interested in around Halloween.
Pumpkins are a fruit.
Reading about the pumpkins
are 90% water. Happy Halloween. It's not strongly worded letter. That's too much bandwidth. My first name is Gene, and while it is granted not the most common name in the world, and he goes on to talk about a Colorado Rockies catcher whose name is ridiculous. And he says, I was a bit surprised to see a package arrive at my house with the name spelled J-E-N-E. Now, again, that's something that I look at and go, okay, that person doesn't know how to spell my name. Really don't care at all because it doesn't make
any difference.
But it's
such a surprise to me because why would you spell the name that way? I'm trying to get myself in the head of a person who would make up a name rather than spell the name that is common enough that I think many people have heard of it. What are you saying?
I'm saying the level of stuff that concerns you greatly is the absolute tiniest stuff in life. It's like all the stuff that most people ignore because there are important things going on.
But I care about the big stuff, too, though.
No,
it's not
you don't.
Like I care about
care
the tiny things at the exclusion of the big stuff. I totally care about the big stuff. Absolutely.
What was the last strongly worded letter you wrote? Was it Daylight Savings?
I don't recall.
What was the last one before that?
I don't recall what the
was it. Congress?
I write a lot of letters. I've written to my congressman many times. Absolutely, yeah. In fact, if you go down on stronglywordedletter.com, you'll see there are several postings about Congress and about government. I'm interested in a lot of different things. That's why I like having the blog, is because it gives me the opportunity to talk about a lot of different things,
like pumpkin facts,
for starters.
Pictures of your pets.
People like cows.
No. No. I don't know what I don't know.
The blog was gone for a
give
year.
Give up strongly didn't, worded letter, dude. That's
you
all
didn't
I
have
give
it
up
for a year.
You need
now
to
it's back.
You need to have the website stupid information about insignificant things. That should be your website.com. That should be your website. Can you work on that for me and give up strongly worded letter?
I can't.
Ridiculously
I'm
small minutia about the most meaningless things in life.com.
Maybe some of us just care about the truth, man.
It's time for your phone call.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
Mondays are always very exciting because we unveil the new prizes on the Kevin and Bean Show for
ooh,
What It Do,
ooh,
Nephew. But
ooh.
It's... Yes?
What is it?
Well, it's a limited edition watch, Ralph, if you can believe it, from Troy Lee Designs, along with a pair of all-access passes to the Troy Lee Designs Supermoto Mayhem at Morongo Casino. It's the final event, don't you know, of the 2007 AMA Supermoto Series. If you want to go, call 888-MORONGO and mention Supermoto Mayhem.
All right, I'm going to go. But if there's no mayhem, I'm getting my freaking money
upset.
Back. That's right.
Yeah, you should. You deserve
BS,
to,
man.
You deserve to be paid off with mayhem.
Don't call something mayhem and then don't have any.
You go in Los Angeles. Good morning.
What it do, KBR?
What it do?
What's up, my man?
Bean, I love
Sir.
Your blog.
Thank you. Very kind.
And I'm glad.
A lot of abuse today.
And I'm glad it's back, you know? I didn't know pumpkin was a fruit.
Exactly, Hugo. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hugo, we're running the risk here of Bean thinking you're serious.
No, really. It's useless facts I use when I'm drunk amongst my friends.
Oh, they must hate you.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's good info.
Yeah, but
not
they hate
good, Hugo.
Your friends hate you for that. You break out that kind of stuff when you're drunk?
Yeah, why not? It's
you
funny.
Know pumpkins are fruit.
Don't pass out. Don't pass that drunk with that kind of info because they will write on your face with a Sharpie.
That's correct.
They've done.
It's
they've
a good
done.
Point.
They've done.
Speaking of, thank you for the call, Hugo. Speaking of drunk, what about Dave, the King of Mexico's message to Psycho Mike's wife, Jenny, over the weekend? What about that
message?
Oh,
that's right. We didn't have time to play that.
Do we have time for that? Because how drunk do you have to be to sound like this guy on this phone message?
Jenny, you're sucky. Give me a call. I'm faded. And I'm calling you. What? We're going to get married. It'd be awesome. We're going to play guitar here up 3 years. Okay. I'm drunk. Later. Bye.
End of message.
What's going on there, Mike?
I don't know what to tell you.
That's a message that he left for your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Is our staff just have way too much free time in their hands? Everyone's loaded all the time. They need a hobby or a second job or something. Somebody help these people.
This was Dave Saturday night at the Kings tailgate. After the Kings game, apparently he was blasted and decided he needed to marry Mike's wife.
Okay. I don't
know how that's going to work exactly.
She doesn't have one bad husband enough.
Right. Danny in Manhattan Beach, good morning.
Good morning, guys. What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
I'm fine, thanks.
What's going on?
Checking to see if you guys have been watching I Love New York 2 this season.
Oh, no. You know what? I didn't get on board with that one.
Oh, my God. It's the best thing ever. They have a midget on this season, a little black midget named Midget Max.
And Midget Max is trying to win New York's heart?
He's trying to win her love, yes. And, in fact, he shown during a recent challenge they had where all the guys had to get into a ring with some badass boxer kickboxing chicks.
Right.
And it was the contest was to see who could take the most punishment. And the girls, there was like four of them, just lit him up, like kicking him in the head repeatedly, knocking him down.
Oh, God.
It was sad.
This isn't right.
The saddest, funniest thing I've ever
There was
seen
a
in my
midget
life.
In the ring getting abused by
just
women.
Absolutely punished by like four chicks. Just punched him in the face, in the head, knocked him down. And he was like, he was all excited about it because he's like, oh, it's cool. I'm not worried. I'm going to practice my mid-jitsu.
Oh, midget.
Oh, God. All right,
that's a human being. I know it's a midget, but it's still a human being, I think.
That's fantastic. Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Danny.
Rome is burning, people.
Let's go to all breads and circuses in this world. Let's go to Leo in Maywood.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, baby? So this past weekend, one of my friends, you know, his girlfriend dumped him. He gets piss poor drunk. And sure enough, I work in the construction industry. So I had a batch of 5-minute plaster, taped up his hand a little, and made it seem as if he had a cast. Woke up the next morning screaming, trying to figure out what was going on.
Oh, he passed out drunk, and you made it look like he had a cast on his hand.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it.
You know?
That's good.
You know, the guy took him to his parents and everything. He's like, I don't know what happened. They said I got in a big fight and that I punched the wall. And, you know, sure enough, midday, I was like, dude, come here. Then I got a hammer from my truck and just started hammering away. He's like, oh, it hurts, it hurts. And, you know, he's like, what? And, you know, he got really mad.
That's a great trick right there. I like that.
Yeah. Turns out he was like, oh, you guys are ass. You know,
I
that
love
worked.
That.
It's been a long time since we've done that phone topic of things you did to your friends while they were drunk, but it may be time to bring that back. That's a good call.
Should have gone with a body cast, though, really. They had me sack. Guy just wake up, just paralyzed. That'd be awesome.
All right, let's go to Craig in Long Beach. Good morning, Craig. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What's going
do,
on?
Baby boo?
What's happening?
Not much. I wanted to talk to Ralph about our Cowboy-Eagle game this weekend.
Yeah.
What happened there, Ralph?
It was brutal. Well, it turns out the Cowboys are pretty good, and the Eagles sucked.
I didn't see what happened. How bad was it?
I think it was 35-17 when it was all over.
38-14. It was a shellacking.
38-17 is what
ouch.
It was. 17. Yeah. It was ugly. Dallas played really well, and the Eagles played horribly.
Westbrook is a stud, though.
Yeah, he's the only guy that showed up.
I've never seen such a lopsided offense. The Eagles really just they go to Westbrook.
Who's the runner for Indianapolis? Adai?
Yeah,
he's amazing.
He had a great day yesterday, although they came up short against the Pets. Unfortunately,
it was a great game too.
That was a great football game.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Brandon in Calabasas. Good morning, Brandon.
What a do, nephew.
What a
how
do.
How does nobody realize Lisa isn't there today?
I don't know.
They don't listen.
People don't pay attention. Sorry. No, she's here. She just left at 9. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So couple teams I want to talk about, all in L.A., all looking good. We got the USC kicking butt again. They're I think they can run the table, and if they can, I think they do have a chance to BCS bid.
Okay.
At the Laker game last night, Kobe's looking awesome. If he wants to get traded, who cares? If he's going to keep playing this way, who cares?
Lakers!
I got to tell you, on...
All right, sir. Okay. All right. We're turning down a little bit.
All right, sir.
Was it Friday? My phone, or is that happening everywhere?
Was it Friday night when they played the Suns?
Yeah.
The Suns in Phoenix, and their own crowd booed them for their home opener.
Yeah.
That's strong.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was nuts. Last night, he had like 35 points. They couldn't stop him. I mean, he played pretty much the whole game.
You know,
I don't really care if he's happy, to tell you the truth.
Good point.
Yes, Mike. You can always pencil in Kobe for 30, but the thing about last night is why the Lakers look so impressive is you had 6 guys scoring in double digits, and if they can continue to spread the ball around like that, I mean, they actually might have a chance at winning some basketball games this year.
They spread the ball around. It's just those guys don't normally score
they
that
don't
much.
Normally hit the percentages, right.
So, that would be great. All right, Brandy and Redondo Beach.
Undefeated.
Shut up, Dave.
We're not undefeated, Dave says.
It's 2-0.
Clipper mania.
Clippers are 2-0. Yeah.
Dave told me earlier that if the season ended today, Clippers would not only be undefeated, they'd be in the playoffs.
Sure. Brandy in Redondo Beach, hi.
What do you do?
What do you do?
What do you do, Brandy?
What do you do?
So on the Reality Channel, on Saturday night at 1 a.m., and if you have digital cable, it's at 10 p.m. here. It is called There Is Something About Miriam. It is a 22-year-old female model from Mexico City looking for love.
Right.
And she finds 6 British guys. And if they win, they win love with her and $10,000.
But there's a secret.
The catch is she is a transsexual and no one knows.
Yes. Yes.
No one knows yet, exactly.
Is she hot?
No.
Not really, okay.
She's okay. But
she's passable.
Yeah.
So they're going to win, and are they leading them to believe that they actually get to have sex with her?
They're leading them to believe that she's a beautiful female supermodel.
But that they get to have sex with her.
Yeah, they're thinking it's going to go all the way. These are 6 drunk British guys who
I like it.
Want to get on her.
What's the name of that show?
It's called There's Something About Miriam.
Something About Miriam.
Yes.
Okay. That's
on
a good
the
tip.
Reality Channel.
Yeah, it's a British show from 2004, I think. It was originally aired in England.
Oh, really?
It caused a big controversy over there, so they're airing it over here in the States now. Yeah.
I gotcha.
It's good to know because...
Crying game.
Yeah, it's all in reruns then, so we don't have to worry about the writer's strike. That one's not going anywhere.
That's not going anywhere, yeah.
Sorry to get that one. That's fantastic. All right, it's nice to leave on a positive note. I want to thank all of our guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including Bobby Cave, who Kevin hated, but the rest of us were interested in the story of Albert, Texas, the town that he has for sale on eBay.
Kevin wants him dead.
No, it's just not a town.
You want him dead.
How is it a town? It has a house.
Dude, you're pretty rough on the guy. Just tried to, make
store,
a living. That's all he's
trying
to do.
Doesn't have a stoplight, doesn't have anything. It's not a town.
Thanks to the band Angels and Airwaves for stopping by. Their new album is coming out tomorrow, and it's called I Empire. And what we've heard from it so far sounds pretty darn good. So that was great, and they perform live, and we'll have that up at krock.com later on today. If you missed the performance, you want a chance to hear it.
One of our favorite internet shows is Let's Paint.
Oh, yes.
And blend drinks and run on a treadmill. I don't know.
Multi-talented, this guy.
Look up on YouTube, look up Let's Paint. The guy is magic, and he's got Anal Holocaust on. That's his latest band. By the way, not a joke. So we got some clips for you tomorrow on that. That is one of our favorite shows. Borat is actually back. Borat. Back tomorrow morning?
Borat, high five!
Borat, what are you talking about tomorrow? You got
talk sexy time.
Right,
Kevin's buttocks.
No, but you have books. Don't you have books
I
out?
I have read many books.
Mm-hmm.
Some I color in with sidelines.
You wrote a couple books.
I write books.
All right, never mind.
I like.
Some of the guys from Linkin Park in tomorrow morning to talk about a charity event. We have Tyra Banks talking about a vagina tomorrow.
And all vaginas. This is the most important show she's ever done, Kevin. This is the one where they're going to talk about stuff that women need to hear but are too embarrassed to talk about. It's the tribute to the vajayjay.
This isn't like the one where she was teaching them how to pee, was it?
I don't know.
It's all in the same area.
Oh.
She rips the lid off vaginas, Kevin.
She's so now freaking painful that hateable. Can be.
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Sing it if you know it.
Tyra is a whore, a big fucking whore.
You guys mock me. I'd still pay to see hers, though. I will tell you that.
Stop. Not me. That's okay. Sound down. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You're not saying anything, but I hear you.
Yeah. All right. So that sounds like a big old Kevin DeBede show for tomorrow morning.
Touchdown, Dallas.
Oh, nice word again. That's sad. Cat Corbin's up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. Exact opposite of Tyra. So sweet-smelling, just intoxicatingly beautiful.
Like a caramel apple.
I bet you're right.
Like a caramel apple?
Because it's
caramel?
Crisp.
Okay.
It's sort of tart, but also sweet.
Okay.
And a little chewy.
And delicious and just wonderful
in
every way.
And
I think it's got a stick in it.
Hey!
Excuse me? Red Hot Chili Peppers are part of 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. Also, Eddie Vedder's Hard Sun. We got Beck, Pennywise, Icky Miss Cake, and more right after this on K-Rock.